answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Everything's bigger in Texas, but this is the coolest gun shop I've ever been here. I've been here quite a few times in their shooting range, but I never spent any time here in their actual gallery where they're selling all these great firearms. I mean, you think about what goes on in third world countries where they keep the public poor on purpose, or you think about what happens in communist countries where people are disarmed. But, I mean, this really is what separates Americans from almost everybody else in the world, except maybe the Swiss, is that we can still get firearms. And it's this revolution that really is make it or break it for America. And we're beginning to win because gun owners are taking people out in a safe way and taking folks that have been domesticated out shooting, and then once they start shooting, they get empowered. I can't tell you how many times I've gone out with Mike Judge, who's a big Hollywood producer, and taken crew from different TV shows and movies he's producing, shooting. A lot of the crew and the stars from shows like Silicon Valley, we took about 15 of them out shooting a few years ago, and within an hour, they were all converted to, wow, I've never shot a gun before, and I'm shooting bullseye at 100 yards with a .223. This was like liberal, female stars, male stars, you name it. Within an hour, we're already awake saying, why shouldn't I be able to protect myself? Why shouldn't I be able to have this fun? I'm competent. I'm not a criminal. That's what we're talking about right here in America. Now, I don't know if this is accurate, but I was watching Pawn Stars, and they claim there's only like 10 or 15 of these in the whole country. Is that true?
I believe so, and we are very lucky to actually have one. And
wow.
This is a great centerpiece. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of machinery when you really look at it. You got to really appreciate the construction of it and how it works and, ingenuity of that time period. It's amazing.
So this is the Gatling gun from Civil War.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, we've got the modern-day version of this bad boy on the other side of the fireplace.
Oh, let's go look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because on Pawn Stars, they were debating whether there's like 10 or 15.
I think there's that, authentic one.
Yes. Yeah.
Now.
So that's an authentic one.
Yes.
Amazing.
This is a modern day
version. Wow.
Yes, take a look at that thing.
This is what Jesse Ventura supposedly walks around with.
Well, I would say that's a pretty beefy gun.
Get ready for a real backache. Huh? So what is this bad boy?
So this is a 7.62 minigun. This is what you typically see in most of our special operations birds. You see these mounted on most of our vehicles. They're outside of our birds now. Just lay down a tremendous amount of firepower. So one trigger is going to activate a cyclic rate of about 750 rounds per minute, which is pretty significant. You typically would use that to get on target. And then with the flip of a switch, you go to 1,100 rounds per minute, which is just a huge amount of increased firepower at that point.
So you use the lower rate just to target.
Yeah, kind of. When you're just kind of, messing around, but then when it's all business and serious, oh yeah, you go right into that second trigger. It's nice. Beautiful. And I mean, it's a minigun.
Shoot it this way while he talks over that way. It looks amazing.
Yeah, that is a pretty intimidating look when you're looking at the business end of this thing. I would not ever want to be on the receiving end of this bad boy. It's a death zone. There's nothing you can really do. There's nothing you can hide behind. There's nothing you can hide from. You can't outrun this thing. You're pretty much toast.
When I was growing up as a child, I heard my grandfather and other World War II vets talk about, we've got our Second Amendment, we've got our First Amendment, and we've got free market. And I thought, oh, quit harping all day about how great America is. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized how much attack it was under. So I love handguns, I love revolvers, I love semi-auto, full-auto, I've shot it all, but there's something as an American rifleman about a 308 Remington 700 within just a few shots out at the range to be able to hit bullseye 400 plus yards. That, my friends, is magic. That, my friends, is the equalization of power against the globalist. And that, my friends, is Americana.
lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Here we are yet again, another global live transmission. Monday, October 16, 2017. Owen Schroyer is coming up with a lot of breaking news, and we'll be riding shotgun with me off and on today. I'll also be working behind the scenes on some big developing stories as well. So keep your eyes on InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com because we are entering the thick of the battle. Again, thank you so much for joining us on this Monday edition. Well, it's official. The Democratic Party and the Republican establishment are openly saying they're preparing to move in the next month or so with the 25th Amendment declaring the president to be mentally unfit. Now, if you go back 2 months ago, former Vice President Al Gore, former head of the CIA Brennan, former deputy director of the CIA, Mr. Mudd, his name is Mudd, no joking, did come out and say within a couple months, the president will be removed and it will be non-legislative. And then many on Capitol Hill were told it would be violent. In fact, Mudd said, we're going to, quote, kill the president. But more and more we see they're going to go with the 25th Amendment route, claiming that he's mentally ill and that he's damaging the country. Now, why are they panicking so bad? We just saw a young 31-year-old populist libertarian-style Trump leader, Sebastian Kurz, in Austria defeat the liberal Democrat parties there in a big election. You're seeing nationalism spread from Brazil to Austria to Australia to Russia to the United States to Canada, and communism and socialism is increasingly seen as the failed ideologies that they indeed are. So now we have Senator Bob Corker, the disgraced individual under criminal investigation, preparing to resign from the Senate and announcing he's not going to run again. And he is the figurehead now. He is the leader, they believe, that can bring down Trump. It shows you how pathetic they are. And the fact that they are panicking that the economy is coming back. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, an all-time high of 23,000 today. And so we have this former Bush aide, Michael Gerson, that means the mouth of the Bush crime syndicate, you know, the folks that voted 3% for Jeb Bush, they still think the public is going to accept them, tells GOP establishment it's time to panic about Trump. This is in the Wall Street Journal. This is in the Washington Post. This is being pushed everywhere, saying he's going to start World War III because of North Korea when it was the system of appeasement and of, quote, strategic patience under the Clintons that gave the reactors and the missiles to North Korea. So now, oh, he's insane because he's listening to his military advisors on the policies there. Tillerson plays good cop. Trump plays bad cop. And again, CNN and others try to deceive the public, acting like there isn't congruent strategy and stratagems going on inside the Trump White House. The truth is, internationally, we've seen win after win against the EU, against ISIS, against NATO, against the globalists, and getting all these countries from South Korea to Japan to Germany to France to pay their share of operations like NATO and what's going on there in the partnership in the South China Sea. People respect Trump. They know he's strong. The economy shows that. The new jobs show that. But they are intensifying their massive panic. Gerson urges Republicans to join, again, their failed champion, Senator Bob Corker, to publicly raising two questions. Is Trump psychologically and morally equipped? And that, of course, will be mainstream media and Congress that decides to be president. And could his unfitness cause permanent damage to the country? Globalism was killing the country and strangling the economy by design. Though Gerson does not explicitly state how he would like them to act, the Washington Post offers a clue. At the very end of Gerson's column, the Post has embedded a video made by one of their staffers titled, How Does the 25th Amendment Work? The video's caption reads, The 25th Amendment sets forth a procedure to removing a president from office. Here's how it's enacted. Well, you've got all these Democrats pushing it. You've got all these Republicans pushing it. because they're losing. They're losing primaries. They're losing runoffs. They're losing every special election from Colorado to Alabama. They don't know what to do. Globally, there's an awakening against the technocracy, against the private corporate megabanks, against the Davos Group. Even former heads of the Davos Group have come on this show and gone public about the fact that it's dead on arrival, that globalism is authoritarianism, and that people are rejecting it. So what are they going to do? I said this last Monday. We laid it out in detail here because it was crystal clear what was happening. And Roger Stone's going to be joining us later with Owen Schroyer to break all of this down. They tried to have Hillary and Bill Clinton bring out women with connections to the Democratic Party and women with John Doe or Jane Doe names with no proof, with fake court filings, claiming that Trump grabbed them or Trump did this or Trump did that, when the allegations were over a decade old and there never been any proof. And they'd only recently brought them up politically. They were going after Trump on their weak points to change the subject. They even had two fake filings in Texas and in New York saying that Trump had had 15-year-old girls grabbed at bus stops 20-something years ago and that he and Jerry Epstein had raped them, even though Trump knew Epstein, had been at public events with him, and once to his house in Florida. And we talked to Trump about it. He gets there. There's a bunch of looks like 15-year-old girls in the pool. And Trump says, I'm getting the hell out of here. We told that story back during the campaign. That's directly from Roger Stone, who talked to the president about it. He didn't make 20-plus flights on Jerry Epstein's plane to the Lolita Express torture island. He didn't fly to the Middle East for known sheiks or known pedophiles. He never flew with Jerry Epstein one time. He wasn't associated with Wiener. He didn't represent as a young lawyer like Hillary did pedophiles. He wasn't associated with the Arab Spring, mass raping and killing Christians and women and throwing priests off buildings and gays off buildings. No. So outcomes from the midst of this summer Zervos with Gloria Allred, the usual suspect who also brought forward previous women, and those lawsuits blew up in Allred's face and disappeared like phantoms at dawn. So now they're back again. And what did I say? It was very, very clear. You could see it coming a few weeks ago. I remember specifically last Monday I laid it out just to show you that we understand the model of how these people operate, and you can discover how they operate by getting inside their heads and bring them down. First, you've got them trying to have Hillary and Bill, the known sex abusers and sex abuse enablers, the lady that first called women that talked about Bill, you know, bimbo eruptions, even though he brutally raped them and he settled many of the cases. So they tried to turn it around against Trump. It didn't work. The media tried to sell it against Trump. People saw the hypocrisy. So the establishment went, well, you know what? The problem is we shouldn't have used the Clintons as the example against Trump. It was too hypocritical. It was too ridiculous. It was too one-sided. People saw right through it. So what do? We know that there's all these cases coming out with Harvey Weinstein, and that they just changed his contract recently to protect themselves from all the sex assault reports that were already coming. They've been suppressing these reports since the late 1990s with him with underage girls who've come forward. We're talking 17-year-olds he tried to grab, tried to go after. They really covered it up in 2004, again, using Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, George Clooney, and the usual suspects, the New York Times and NBC. They all covered that up en masse. So what were they going to do? Well, wait. Go ahead and burn Weinstein, as it's already coming out. Bring that into the media. Give the media a facelift with them actually going after a real abuser and a big Hollywood dirtbag that everybody hates. As America turns against Hollywood, you see MSNBC, CNN, and the mainstream dinosaur media turning against its own allied corrupt system, hoping if they throw it to the wolves, the public will have some type of credit with them, and it will give them some type of credibility. This is desperation to remain pertinent and to look like you're staying in the ball game at some level. Then once they've done the media facelift by going after Harvey Weinstein, they then turn against Trump. They already had this set up weeks ago, you can tell, and roll out Gloria Allred's latest minion. We'll be back with a clip of her so-called testimony and more straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. You're listening to InfoWars Live with your host, host, Alex Jones. Yours truly. Thank you so much for joining us on this global transmission, this live Monday broadcast. Now, coming up, the Las Vegas massacre has completely come off the rails. The wheels have come off the official story. The sheriff is acting like someone who is a deer in the headlights and really changing his story. It's dramatic footage. We've got a compilation of that coming up later in the next hour that I put together with Rob Due. But right now, let's get back to the big story here. You've got the Republican and Democratic Party leadership hanging on by their fingernails as a global populist movement explodes against unelected corporate world government that has bought and sold our politicians for at least 50 years. And they're moving ahead with a 25th Amendment challenge against the president. Now, enter into that Summer Zervos, who is being handled by Gloria Allred, who already brought forward other suits that got thrown out of court. Now, she's claiming that while on the host of The Apprentice, more than a decade ago, Trump grabbed her, kissed on her, and tried to pick her up. But just a year ago, and again, 2 years ago and 3 years ago, she was always trying to get jobs from Trump or getting Trump to come into her business, come into her restaurant and give her attention. And if you look at the body language and her behavior and who she's working for and the timing and the mainstream media and all of this, it's as phony as a $3 bill in my book. And remember, we saw the PR rollout of this 2 weeks ago. I said, when they're done with Weinstein, they're going after Trump. That's what this whole buildup is. And that's because the Clintons tried to do this. And that's the pot calling the kettle black big time. That's like Lucifer, telling somebody that took a drink of whiskey that they were actually the head devil. I mean, it's just, or it's like a child molester telling somebody that had a crooked toenail that the guy with the crooked toenail was really the bad guy. Trump never had any of these reports, never had any of these problems, never had any history of this until he was running for president. And all the other cases were proven to be frauds. So now, why is this happening? The media needs a facelift. They tried to run the sex abuser and the sex abuse enabler, Hillary, the Clinton combine, Billary, against Trump. It didn't work. The public saw through it. So now the media gives itself a facelift, goes after the king of Jell-O, Bill Cosby, goes after some of these other people, goes after other low-level Hollywood people, finally goes after Weinstein because they knew that fruit was about to fall off the tree to begin with. This was a desperate move to give themselves a facelift, to look credible, to go, oh, it's not political. It's just the season of comeuppance. Going after the evil Hollywood elite that they know we all hate, and then equating that with populism and Trump with no proof. Here is an excerpt of her testimony.
I was standing in the entryway. To my left was a bedroom, and I saw Mr. Trump's clothes on the bed. I did not see him, but he greeted me with hello in a sing-song voice. It sounded like, hello. I thought the mistake had been made, and Mr. Trump thought he was speaking to someone he was more familiar with. I walked further into the living room, away from the bedroom, and sat down. I waited for about 15 minutes until Mr. Trump emerged. He had his suit on.
This is really bad acting, in my view.
I stood up. And he came to me and started kissing me open-mouthed as he was pulling me towards him. I walked away and I sat down in a chair. He was on a love seat across from me, and I made an attempt at conversation. He then asked me to sit next to him. I complied. He then grabbed my shoulder and began kissing me again very aggressively and placed his hand on my breast. I pulled back and walked to another part of the room. He then walked up, grabbed my hand, and walked me into the bedroom.
Okay, so in my view, that's bad acting. She couldn't get a job working for a soap opera. She's reading off a piece of paper, looking down, and she tried to get Trump to come to her restaurant and tried to get Trump to have her involved in his programs and things just a year ago. So she's been pursuing him, and now she's up here. This washed up wannabe reality TV show contestant. And she's saying the president of the United States did this to her, but she didn't say anything back at the time it happened when he was the host of The Apprentice. So Trump campaign subpoenaed over sexual assault allegations. Lawyers for one of the women who have accused Donald Trump of sexual assault subpoenaed the campaign for all documents relating to her. All communications with or about her and all documents concerning any women who asserted that Donald J. Trump touched her inappropriately. This comes in the case of Summer Zervos, a former contestant on The Apprentice, who accused Trump of sexually assaulting her in 2007. The accusations were made in October of last year at a news conference. Zervos claims Trump kissed her twice on the lips during a lunch meeting. Isn't that just interesting? But to be clear, quote, Trump says, I never met her at a hotel or greeted her inappropriately a decade ago. That is not who I am as a person, and it is not how I've conducted my life. In fact, Mrs. Zervos continued to contact me for help, emailing my office on April 14th of this year, asking that I visit her restaurant in California, Trump said. And they've got all that information. Trump goes on to say it's a total fiction, all false stuff, and said there is a concerted effort to take down his campaign. That was back at the time. Now there's a concerted effort to stop the rally of the stock market at any cost. But here's the good news. They've weaponized the NFL against America. They've weaponized Hollywood against America for a long time. They've weaponized mainstream news. They've weaponized it. And anybody doing it is seeing 10 to 15 point drops per year consecutively, where the NFL is down 35 points this year. They are the most unpopular sports group in America. And now the NBA and everybody else that wanted to be political and globalist and force feed garbage, people are walking with their feet. They are voting with their feet. They are saying no. It's their right. You have your free speech. We have ours. And now the owners that own your little entertainment franchises are saying, listen, we can tell you don't spike a ball in the end, in the end zone. Don't get in a fight. We can fine you for wearing the wrong shoes if we want. You are going to follow the old rule to stand for the anthem. Don't put your hand over your chest, but you're going to stand up. You're paid. You got free speech out of here to do whatever you want, but not here. Well, Colin Kaepernick, the little spoiled, rotten SJW Soros minion, who only made $200+ million in his career, who had the last two seasons were terrible. No team wants to sign you because you are horrible at football and because you're a spoiled brat. You know, there's photos I've seen of him years ago standing around with a huge $20 million house, Lamborghinis, Ferraris in front of him. I just want to ask, you know, Is this the America that treated you so bad and you hate your fans so much and everybody's out to get you? Well, here's the good news. We're rejecting you. So he's filed a lawsuit, a grievance, with the NFL saying they're discriminating against him because basically of his politics and because he's black. Yeah, that's why 90+% of the starters are black. That's why you're making hundreds of millions of dollars. And now the owners of the teams don't want you to bankrupt them further. Hey, I hope they put you back on. Help, they put you on the Cowboys or something, and you help bring down the whole stinking thing because it's a diversion for men. They need to spend time with their families. It's been corrupt forever. It's a sick, filthy joke, and it all needs to collapse along with Hollywood and the rest of it, and it is collapsing. We're watching their death throes. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, folks. This is the InfoWar. This is the Alex Jones Show. Filling in for Alex Jones, I am Owen Schroyer. We're going to hear from Roger Stone later today, as well as Jack Posobiec in the fourth hour. Ton of news to cover, some video clips to get to. And we see the tea leaves. Alex Jones predicted it a while ago. They're going to try to rehash this Trump as a sexual predator deal, and they're going to use the momentum off of the Harvey Weinstein gate to try to get it to work. And I'll just say this. I'm expecting them to start to release some tapes on Trump. I think that they probably have some other tapes. They're probably pretty mild, maybe in the same light that the Billy Bush tapes were in. But it's not going to matter. That's the key. It's not going to matter. America has already rebuked the fake mainstream media. We've already rebuked the political establishment, and Trump is that representation. So it doesn't matter how much they try to slander Trump's character or bring him down. The people are behind Trump because of what he represents, and that's an idea, and that's an America First policy, and that's a president in the White House that is actually going to put America's concerns before their own and before that of their big donors and their foreign donors. And this is what InfoWars has been fighting for since Alex Jones started. And he's come a long way since when he began. InfoWars is now live 10 hours a day, and that's thanks to your support out there, going to InfoWarsStore.com, buying our great products. And I got to thank Alex Jones because he takes care of us here at the office, and we have an Alexa Pure Breeze air purifier in every room here at the InfoWars offices. This is something that you want at your house too, folks. The Alexa Pure Breeze air purifier is 20% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. That's a limited time offer, 20% off the Alexa Pure Breeze air purifier. One of the best units you can get for air purification. I have one in my home. I know that everyone at InfoWars loves this. They also have it at their homes, and it works, folks. Alex is not kidding. You can sneeze 100 yards away from one of these things, and it immediately kicks into gear. It's like just amazing. I highly recommend it. Alexa Pure Breeze, and it's 20% off. That's huge savings right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We got other savings going on as well. BioTrue Selenium, 40% off. And that's 50% off if you get auto ship. Yeah, there's the Alexa Pure Breeze. 4.8 star review. Almost 500 reviews on that bad boy. That's a mean machine right there when it comes to air purification. You will notice the difference with that. But don't forget, 40% off BioTrue Selenium. And with auto ship, that's 50% off. A lot of people forget about the auto ship option. This super combo, which is Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine and BioTrue Selenium, that combo is 40% off. That combo itself has a 4.9 star review. That is incredible. Two products, a 4.9 star review, 40% off. You can get BioTrue Selenium and Survival Shield X2, the super combo, 40% off. And again, just look at how highly rated these products are with the reviews that we have. People try it, they love it, and then they come back for more, and we offer the greatest specials. Don't forget 50% off BrainForce as well. I don't know how much longer we can do that, but we do have that offer still running. They're selling it off the shelves. I literally have people asking me for whole boxes of this. I'm not even kidding. Requesting hundreds of BrainForce bottles because this is such a popular product and this special is so huge. So get to InfoWarsStore.com before we run out. Well, you know what? I've got a stack of news here. Alex has pretty much broken down what the globalist next move is against Trump. We've got Roger Stone coming up at 1:30, Jack Posobiec at 2. He's going to have a guest, Jacob Wool from offendamerica.com. But let's just get into some of the news. Where to begin, guys? Let's look at this Hillary Clinton thing. I just want to get this out of my way. Let's just get this out of the way. Let's get this nauseating thing out of the way. So Hillary Clinton, she caked on the makeup like Pennywise, and then gave an interview on an Australian TV network, and she had something to say about Julian Assange. And again, what you're going to hear from Hillary Clinton here is projecting exactly what she is on her enemies. Listen to the latest blatant lies out of the mouth of the demon witch, Hillary Clinton.
I think Assange has become a kind of nihilistic opportunist who does the bidding of a dictator.
Lots of people, including in Australia, absurd, think that Assange is a martyr for free speech and freedom of information. How would you describe him?
I mean, he's a tool of Russian intelligence. And if he's such a, you know, martyr of free speech, why doesn't WikiLeaks ever publish anything coming out of Russia?
Arrogance. Isn't he just doing what journalists do, which is publish smugness, information when they get it?
I don't think so. I think, for number one, it's stolen information. And number two, if all you did was publish it, that would be one thing. But there was a concerted operation between WikiLeaks.
Seriously, they had to cake the makeup
Russia
on that
and
pig.
Most likely people in the United States to, as I say, weaponize that information.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, you still have yet to deny that the content of those emails is real. So how are you weaponizing information that's real? Oh, I see. We're weaponizing the information by making it available to the public. No, Hillary Clinton, you are the weapon against America. You are the globalist weapon against freedom. So then Julian Assange responds, there's something wrong with Hillary Clinton. It is not just her constant lying. It is not just that she throws off menacing glares and seethes thwarted entitlement. I mean, seriously, this is the most arrogant witch. She just seriously encapsulates the most arrogant witch you could ever see. Watch closely. Something much darker rides along with it. A cold creepiness rarely seen. Wow, I couldn't agree more with Julian Assange. I was saying this to my war room crew a while ago. I was like, guys, we can't even do Hillary anymore. She makes me so nauseous. I can't even do it. But she continues to come out and try to take this country down. So we're going to continue to address her. You know, speaking of trying to take this country down, we're still trying to pick up some of the trash left behind from the Obama administration. So now Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl is pleading guilty to desertion and misbehavior. You know, and let's not forget that while all this is going on, so Barack Obama makes the deal to bring the deserter back home, trades five terrorists for the deserter, who's, it looks like, I mean, I don't know what kind of jail time potentially he's going to face or what his consequences are for this. But let's not forget what happened when President Obama gave a speech with Bergdahl's parents and the father got up to the podium and spoke perfect Pashtun, one of the hardest languages to speak, had a full beard, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know where your thought processes go. And then after that, you can see President Obama walking with the Bergdahls. Everyone's embracing each other, smiling, laughing, all over a soldier that betrayed his unit, misbehaved, and deserted, and is now going to have to face crimes. So that's interesting. Here's more of Obama's trash. Heaps of it. Illegal alien accused of murdering 18-year-old student was in DACA program. So Daniel DeJesus Rangel Scherer, 19, accused of murder, kidnapping, and possession of a weapon during a violent crime in connection with the death of an 18-year-old Diana Martinez Gonzalez. So he takes Diana Martinez Gonzalez out to the woods, murders her. There was one other victim that he probably would have also tried to murder, but she was able to get away. And yes, this individual was protected from deportation because of the DACA program. So there's one murderer, at least one that we know of. There's multiple, but here's one, a murderer kept here because of Barack Obama. Do you hear that? Then the Democrats, a murderer kept here because of the Democrats. We'll be right back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Filling in for Alex Jones for now, Owen Schroyer. And we've picked up a lot of new listeners, I think, because of our coverage on the Las Vegas massacre. We're willing to go where other programs won't. We're willing to ask the questions that everyone's thinking that might not be politically correct. And we're willing to call out a cover-up when we see it, even though the fake news is going to attack us for it. But it's all coming to light. They're not going to get away with this. And more people are starting to remove the rose-colored glasses that they use to watch television news when they're seeing television news completely go along with the official story that makes no sense when you use common sense. Of course, Vegas is suffering for this, and the bigwig casino owners aren't going to like that. Las Vegas tourism sees changes in aftermath of shooting. Yes, tourism is obviously down, but you would expect that, especially in the, certain months following. Shifting Las Vegas massacre narratives has gamblers on edge. Even the regulars that are in Vegas constantly are concerned about what's going on. And again, everybody sees the cover-up. Everybody sees the false narrative. I mean, there's all these manhunts that go on. Manhunts after the Boston Marathon bombing. There was a manhunt, I think it was in Ohio, for a killer. But no manhunt over what happened in Vegas? Nothing? When it's clear there were probably multiple shooters? No manhunt, though. We're told it's all fine. It's all under control. We got him. We got Paddock. Vegas shooter's brain probed for hidden diseases. I'm still trying to figure this out because this is a story that keeps propping up every day. Someone new is reporting a new angle about his brain being probed. Didn't he shoot himself? What is going on? Was there not, did he not shoot himself in the mouth? I mean, what? I'm trying to figure this out here. This is another just ambiguousness of the whole Paddock thing. Did he shoot himself? Was he shot by someone else? Was his head? I mean, how can you do any studies on someone's brain that had damage from a bullet? Or even beyond that, just suffered from massive internal bleeding. But they keep saying, we looked at his brain and it's provided us no answers. Oh, so just like everything else. Wow, shocking. And then Agent Ruse from the FBI comes out and says, we've made progress with this investigation. And then everybody's sitting here scratching their head like, what progress exactly? Because we still have the exact same questions we had day one. So what progress have you made? Well, I guess you've made significant progress in the cover-up, haven't you? That's right, you've successfully ran with the fake narrative since the whole thing began. And you keep coming back to the same questions. What about the lady running around saying that she was, that everybody was going to die? Nothing. What about all of the eyewitness reports and videos that indicate multiple shooters? Nothing. I remember the first thing that people were saying, actually, before any of this, when they released Stephen Paddock and his information was, how old was Stephen Paddock? Like 64 or something? How did somebody that old pull this off by himself? That was actually the first instinctual response that some people had to me. But again, that just gets lost in the translation of all this. Now, here's another eyewitness report. This is from the Confessionals podcast. The Confessionals podcast has an eyewitness on from the Bellagio reporting shooters at the Bellagio during the Vegas massacre. Here's this eyewitness testimony.
First of all, I think what needs to be said is that, you know, there were, from my perspective and what I know, there were multiple events that occurred around Las Vegas up and down the strip that night. It wasn't just, you know, centralized at Mandalay as it has sort of been put forward in all the stories that people are hearing. I mean, if I were to kind of say one statement about everything I'm about to talk about, it's, you know, my wife and I, we were in Vegas celebrating our 10th year anniversary. And on October 1st, we were involved in an incident with an active shooter at the Bellagio. And there's no mistake in my mind about that. This is something that happened and it we were there. So we were leaving. We had just seen the Cirque du Soleil show. At the Bellagio there. It closed just after, I believe, about 11 o'clock. You know, just outside of 11, maybe about 11:10 local time. And we were walking through the casino. My wife stopped off to use the washroom. And then we decided we were going to continue through the lobby of the Bellagio. There's the beautiful ceiling, the flowers sculpture that's on the ceiling. And then they've got like a conservatory, like a gardens on the other side of the lobby there. So we crossed through the lobby under the famous flower sculpture, and we entered the conservatory. And at that point, you know, people were standing around. They were everybody had like cocktails in hand. They were kind of just hanging out. It was a very kind of jovial atmosphere at that point. You know, a big show had just let out. A lot of the audience had come out and sort of followed the same path. So people had they had a wonderful night. My wife and I included. And so we were taking photos in the conservatory, and all of a sudden there was just like this crescendo of screams that started behind us in the lobby, and you could just hear screams. That's the first thing I heard were these screams, and then I heard somebody yell, "There's a shooter! There's a shooter!" And then I heard distinctly, like five or six pops, like pop, 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 like unmistakably gunfire. Unmistakably, it wasn't flip flops on the floor. It wasn't, you know, the fountains outside. It was these were from right outside of that lobby area.
Pause it right there, real quick,
and they were,
because this is so key. This is not the only eyewitness testimony to report this. And you can listen to the audio on the police scanners that concur what this eyewitness is saying. So you have to ask yourself, why isn't this being addressed in any of the press conferences? Why aren't questions being asked about this? None of the nitwit reporters that get into these press conferences are asking these questions, know about this? Nothing? Nothing from the FBI? Nothing from the Sheriff's Department? At least putting our fears at rest, saying, hey, there were shooters, but they weren't involved in the bigger attack. So again, why does this just get ignored? Back to the Confessionals podcast.
Very distinct. I mean, I haven't been close enough to a gunshot previously to be able to conclusively say 100% that was gunfire. But in my mind, that's what a gun sounds like from everything I've heard on, you know, on television and in the movies and things of that nature. That's a gunshot. Those were gunshots. So that happened, and that was about 11:20 when we heard the shots and the screams and people yelling, and then, as I said, somebody yelling that there was a shooter. So I reached back, because there were, at that point, you could just hear the screams and see hundreds of people coming towards us through the conservatory, through the lobby there. You could just see them coming. So I reached back, I grabbed onto my wife's hand, and you know, we just started moving. At that point, we didn't know what was happening. It was the unknown factor. Like, was there a team of people coming towards us? Was there one guy? Like, what was the actual event that had occurred? Like, who was shooting, and where were they coming from? So we just started running. We just started going along with everyone else. And I mean, I tell you, there's nothing. There's no scarier moment that I've experienced in my life, because I thought at that point, I was like, this is it. Like, how are we going to get out of this? Like, this is the end. Like, we're going to die here tonight.
So again, that's an eyewitness from the Mandalay Bay on the Confessionals podcast. Now pull up that story. The crew had this story pulled up while we were listening. If you're a YouTube viewer or a viewer at Infowars.com/show, no evidence of second shooter in Las Vegas attack, sheriff says. Now, have you ever seen an investigation conflict itself on so many different occasions? I'd have to check the timeline, but the sheriff specifically said in more or less words that he doesn't believe the shooter acted alone. And he says, it's hard to believe this man could have acted alone. We're still looking into possible accomplices. He's specifically referencing the point that there was so much ammunition, so many firearms brought up to the hotel room that he had to have an accomplice. But then he says, no evidence of a second shooter, even though we've got all the video evidence that you could possibly need. It's falling apart. Nobody's buying it. And that's the biggest thing about this. Nobody's buying the narrative. Nobody's buying the official story. And any news media outlet that's just going along with it is clearly fake news. We'll be right back with more of the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere.
With our help, President Trump is exorcising the globalist demon out of our republic. And as you look at the news every day that emerges, you see the theme. Not the theme the globalists are pushing, but the theme that the citizens are realizing collectively together. Citizens of planet Earth. Just look at Drudge Report. Look at these headlines. Consumer sentiment hits 13-year high. Stock set new records. And then right below it, McCain to thwart tax cuts that would bring more money into the treasury and help pay down the national debt. You cut taxes, more money comes in. You just got to keep spending the same. And Trump's been cutting spending in many areas. But Congress has been thwarting him there as well. But he then used the nuclear option that Dr. Corsi's been hammering here for months. to just defund it. Don't let them raid Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
So the good news is Trump is killing the looting of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Precisely. And this was Senator Corker was at the hearing, and you know he was the one I constantly targeted as wanting to give the mortgage market over to the banks. Banks that he's made millions of dollars in loans with, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. Corker was about fit to be tied. He offered, he said, well, we'll give you $10 billion more capital to keep running Fannie and Freddie. And Mel Watts said, no, we don't need it. And Mel Watts knew that as long as they were taking federal money, they couldn't recapitalize Fannie and Freddie for the shareholders.
Let me ask you this, because they're clearly not just looting it. Why do the Democrats want to bankrupt it? I mean, Obama made no secret of that.
Well, because it was free cash. I mean, they had over $266 billion. They were up against the wall. The House of Representatives had refused to fund the insurance subsidies under Obamacare. Obamacare was going to crash in the first year.
That's right. So it's multifaceted. They propped up Obamacare with it, but also just like the Federal Reserve under Obama doesn't want cheap loans to the public, only cheap loans to big banks. So this is all part of making people poor, picking winners and losers.
Yes, and it's also part of the scheme that the Obama administration had that they were going to let Fannie and Freddie fail. They're going to take all the capital out of them. So by the end of this year, they would have zero capital in Fannie and Freddie. And then they were going to give the mortgage market over to the big banks and the hedge funds. And in Wall Street, which would mean that we would become a nation of renters. The Treasury Department, I revealed the documents, we published them. It shook the very base of Washington. When these documents were published, the Treasury under Geithner and under the Obama administration wanted to end the American dream of us being homeowners. We're all going to become renters. Going to become a nation of renters.
Jones is fear-mongering about global government and all these unstoppable elites. I wasn't saying they were unstoppable. I was saying they were weak because they were authoritarian and were operating by stealth. And as soon as you took the stealth away, they were wide open. And that's why all the king's horses and all the king's men and all the fake Hollywood people and all the M&Ms and all the little media twerps that have been propped up, they may be able to get some 12 and 13-year-old snot-nosed folks to actually watch them, or a few old people that still think it's trendy. Hey, Daddy-O, macking the homie. Wow, you saw that M&M. He really took Trump to the woodshed. Yeah, yeah. That's why his approval rating's up.
Madness in the world today. I see it in court every day. I've sentenced boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it. The most important decision you can make right now is what do you stand for, Danny? Goodness or badness?
I want to be good.
Good. Good. Very good.
Are you my pal?
I'm your pal.
How about a Fresca?
Oh. Huh?
What they're doing is attempting to dynamite the resurgence of America in an economic operation to bankrupt this country and bring us into the world corporate government, just like a third world country's bankrupted and brought in to the IMF or World Bank's orbit. But the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray, and they're going astray now. Also, Mark Dice has touched on something really important, and that's the gay mafia in Hollywood, and that's going to be the next big shoe to drop. And then when that basement falls in, you'll find the entire labyrinth of pedophile networks. And then below that, Satan worshipers and human sacrifice cults. Please listen carefully, because I'm about to point out three things that will save you a lot of money while you get high-quality products and fund the info war. A 360 win. Number one, when you choose AutoShip before checkout, we give you 10% off on your order at InfoWarsStore.com. Number two, you're also able to get items that are out of stock when you sign up for AutoShip because we hold back a surplus for AutoShip customers. Number three, we're giving you free shipping on all orders above $50. Listeners have been requesting this for years because it's so easy to forget to reorder the products that you need each month. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com, select your favorite product or products, click on AutoShip, and choose how often you want us to send you another order. As you know, I coined the term 360 win. And with the new auto ship feature at InfoWarsLife.com, this is a sure win. 10% off on auto ship. Win, win, win at InfoWarsLife.com. Free shipping on orders above $50. And all out of stock items are never out of stock when you sign up for auto ship.
Is a dangerous place, not because of evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host for now, Owen Schroyer. We're joined by Roger Stone at 1:30 and then Jack Posobiec in the fourth hour. Folks, it just keeps getting better and better. Hillary Clinton fails to turn up for TV and radio appearances with Philip Schofield, Women's Hour, and Graham Norton after falling over and hurting her foot during London book tour. How about that? Remember when InfoWars told you that Hillary Clinton was sick and falling over and they called us fake news? Oops, she fell over again. Oh, there's the famous video of Hillary Clinton. First, she's completely out, and they prop her up against a post. She can't even move under her own power, so they basically toss her into this medical security van like a sack of potatoes. That's right. There's the sickly dog, Hillary Clinton, being tossed into the medical van as all of her security detail tries to block anyone from seeing that, she was basically out cold. Who knows what happened that day? They tell you that she just had she was bothered by a flu? I'm sure it was the flu. Maybe Hillary needs an extra flu shot, folks. How about that? You think Hillary Clinton takes a flu shot? Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton failed to appear for interviews today. What happened? Former presidential hopeful is in Britain promoting her book. What happened? Women's Hour host said star guest was delayed, but then never turned up. Philip Schofield revealed she had stood this morning up after hurting her foot. Oh, boy. Who buys that? Tell me one person that buys that this is because of a foot. Now, maybe she, had a brain aneurysm and fell and hurt her foot. Graham Norton, BBC interview, was also put on hold after accident in central London. And then here it is. It just gets richer and richer. Clinton last night dined at a restaurant with Huma Abedin. Folks, the Democrats are riddled with sexual predators. So you have Hillary Clinton, apparently the candidate for women, married to Bill Clinton, settled multiple rape cases, and while he was president, got caught cheating on Hillary Clinton with Monica Lewinsky, which we'll have news on that in a second. Then you have Huma Abedin, who's married to Anthony Weiner, who's going to prison for sexting with a minor. And that's probably just the tip of the spear with Weiner. And then, of course, there's Harvey Weinstein, Weinstein Gate, Harvey Weiner Gate, Harvey Weiner, Harvey Weinstein Gate. But just back to Hillary Clinton real quick, folks, because we played Hillary Clinton earlier looking like a demented demon. An arrogant demon. Julian Assange responds to her lies against him. So she looked sick already, and then she actually gets sick and has to miss these interviews. But here's the thing, and this is you're starting to see this with people like Harvey Weinstein and George Soros and Hillary Clinton and Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi, where they're physically manifesting how sick they are mentally. So these studies are already out. Mental health and physical health go hand in hand to a certain extent. That's why people like Hillary Clinton and George Soros and Maxine Waters look like Emperor Palpatine. Okay? So their mental sickness, their mental depravity is starting to show itself in their physical appearance. So yeah, Hillary Clinton can go on TV looking like a demon straight from hell, lie about Julian Assange in her complete arrogance, just cold-hearted arrogance, literally the most cold-hearted demon personified. And then what do you know? Who knows how longer it was after that interview? She can't even make her interviews. She can't even make her What Happened book tour interviews, which begs the question, what happened to Hillary Clinton? She's sick as a dog, mentally and physically. I'm sorry, I shouldn't slander dogs like that. Okay, but now let's tie it all together with how sick the Democrat Party really is. And I'm not glorifying the Republican Party. It's nice to see we're taking over the Republican Party, and we'll probably save it. Senator Kamala Harris quiet on presidential run in Hamptons meeting. So she goes to the Hamptons. She's hanging out there with all these power brokers. Oh, but guess who was there? Harvey Weinstein. That's right. Kamala Harris making her bid to be president, looking at the big donors like Harvey Weinstein. Of course, Kamala Harris has had to come out and say she's going to be donating the money Harvey Weinstein gave to her political contributions. She's going to be donating that to charities. Kamala Harris is falling apart. They thought they had their candidate. They thought Kamala Harris could do it. And she's just as bad as Hillary, colluding with sexual predators like Harvey Weinstein and trying to slander Trump supporters by making up criminal charges against them. That got blown up. So Kamala Harris, another failed Democrat. Total failure, total loser, just awful, just the worst. Now here's a nice little ditty. We go back in time to August 22nd, 1998. President testified to late gifts to Lewinsky. So this is part of the time where Bill Clinton, you know, he got caught, you know, him and Monica Lewinsky, you know the story. But you go back and you look into this and you find out that there was a group of people from Hollywood that were funding, this is from the Washington Post, in 1998, funding, they were funding Bill Clinton's legal defense team right in the face of Hillary, who's the one that got cheated on. And guess who was part of those donors to the Bill Clinton defense team? Harvey Weinstein. Imagine my shock that Harvey Weinstein would donate to the legal defense team of Bill Clinton. I wonder if Harvey's calling up old Bill right now, asking Bill to pay it forward. Bill, hey, remember what happened when you got accused? How about a little help my way, Bill? Let's go again. This is the sick Hillary Clinton lying about Julian Assange, and then obviously she's clearly sick in this video, ends up falling over and hurting her foot just a few days later, I can only assume, and she can't make her What Happened interviews. Here was the last interview of Hillary Clinton looking like an absolute demon.
Assange has become a kind of nihilistic opportunist who does the bidding of a dictator.
Lots of people, including in Australia, think that Assange is a martyr for free speech and freedom of information. How would you describe him?
I mean, he's a tool of Russian intelligence. And if he's such a martyr of free speech, why doesn't WikiLeaks ever publish anything coming out of Russia?
Isn't he just doing what journalists do, which is publish information?
Because Russia doesn't have a Hillary Clinton in its government.
I don't think so. I think, for number one, it's stolen information. And number two, if all you did was publish
it, was leaked,
that would be one thing. But there was a concerted operation between WikiLeaks and Russia and most likely people in the United States to, as I say, weaponize that information.
People within the DNC. Yeah, weaponize the information. Hey, we've got this whole group of information, this whole litany of information here, and it's all real. We can't deny its context. And it's content, and they're weaponizing it against us. Oh my gosh, they found an email talking about how we like to have children in the pool for your pleasure, and they're weaponizing it against us. Can you believe this? Oh, but don't worry, folks, they're freaking out. Government lawyers ask judge to block release of Comey memos. Comey is lying through his teeth. Comey and the FBI were clearly colluding with Loretta Lynch and the Clintons and the tarmac meeting, and they're trying to hide the truth on that, and they're not getting away with that either. It's all coming out. These people are the swamp. This is the scum. This is the corrupt government. Hillary Clinton is at the top. And James Comey was colluding with all of them. That's why Trump fired him. And Comey perjured himself. But don't worry, we're going to get those memos. We're going to get the Iwan information. They're all going down.
The Alex Jones Show. Because there is a war on for your mind.
I remember when I lost my mind.
There was something. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We all remember when we lost our mind, right? We all remember when we took the first red pill. And most of us ended up at Infowars.com, and now Infowars has expanded to 10 hours of live broadcasts every day, and that's because of your support at Infowarsstore.com, so we pay it forward by bringing you great specials. I've already talked about some of the specials today, but there's more, like 50% off Caveman. We've now got a strawberry flavor Caveman in addition to the original chocolate flavor Caveman, the true paleo bone broth formula. Bone broth in there, chaga mushroom, bee pollen, things that you probably aren't getting in your regular diet, and it's all in the chocolate or strawberry Caveman true paleo bone broth formula. But now it's 50% off. That's 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. This is a very popular product, and we're giving it to you 50% off. This is a great protein supplement as well, not just the bone broth, but also packed with protein. We're still running the Secret 12 special, 40% off. InfoWars Secret 12, that's a B12 supplement, an all-natural proprietary B12 formula. It's good for energy. It's good for all of the great products that are inside of it, including the methylcobalamin and the B12 that's just so important. And it's a 40% off discount right now. 4.8 star review at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off Secret 12. And another 50% off special, the entire line of Emmerich's Essentials. That's an entire line of products, 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We try to fight back against the toxins in our environment and in the products by giving you products that don't have the toxins in them. You've got the outdoor pack with the sunscreen and the bug spray, two things that typically come riddled with toxins, especially the bug spray. And then you've got the entire line of the starter pack, 50% off right now. That includes the mouthwash, the shampoo, and the body wash. And then you've got the deodorant on there as well. And all of those products, 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, as well as essential oils. A lot of people are really into essential oils. We've got a whole line of essential oils, the Emmerich's Essentials, right now at InfoWarsStore.com. That entire product line, 50% off. Get to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of all these great products. Get rid of the toxic products in your house and fill your pantry, your cupboard, your closet with good products that aren't going to poison you and put toxins in your body. InfoWarsStore.com. Great specials running right now. Be sure to take advantage. Okay, so the Democrats are absolutely collapsing. Hillary Clinton is literally collapsing, literally falling over herself, missing interviews. This is something that dates back to even her presidential campaign. Can you imagine if she was president, this wicker woman who can literally collapse at any moment? I mean, who knows the real state of her health? I mean, she could be, you know, one tick away from midnight, if you know what I'm saying. So she falls over again and misses her What's Happened book tour. You know, Tom Fitton is doing great work over at Judicial Watch right now. He's pressuring the FBI to hand over the Comey memos, hand over all the information they have on Iwan, who was working for the Democrats. What's that? From Pakistan? Yes, you heard me right. Imran Iwan, who did IT work for the Democrats from Pakistan. Yeah, there's JudicialWatch.com. Judicial Watch forces FBI to admit to new Clinton Lynch tarmac documents. Well, I mean, if they were just talking about their grandkids, they've got nothing to hide. So I'm sure they'll release all of those documents to Judicial Watch, and they won't fight that tooth and nail because Lynch and Clinton have nothing to hide. They were just talking about grandkids. Yeah, right. Okay, so, but here's what they're doing to try to cover their tail, because they're an absolute collapsing mess. I mean, seriously, folks, they are a structure fire. So they're trying to take all of the energy and momentum from the Harvey Weinstein gate and try to project that back onto Trump. It's going to fail miserably. It doesn't even matter what comes out. It doesn't matter what tapes that I think they're going to release. I do think they're going to release some other tapes. Won't matter. Will not matter. But here is the woman, Summer Zervos, coming out again now. Over a decade, she's been trying to do this with nothing, no ground to stand on. But here she is on CNN again, talking about Trump touching her inappropriately.
I was standing in the entryway.
Exactly what we reported they would do, by the way.
And I saw Mr. Trump's clothes on the bed. Mm-hmm. I did not see him, but he greeted me with hello in a sing-song voice. It sounded like, hello. I thought the mistake had been made, and Mr. Trump thought he was speaking to someone he was more familiar with. I walked further into the living room, away from the bedroom, and sat down. I waited for about 15 minutes until Mr. Trump emerged. He had his suit on. I stood up.
I thought his suit was on the bed. Now he's wearing it.
He came to me open-mouthed as he was pulling me towards him. I walked away and I sat down in a chair. He was on a low seat across from me, and I made an attempt at conversation. He then asked me to sit next to him. I complied. He then grabbed my shoulder and began kissing me again very aggressively and placed his hand on my breast. I pulled back and walked to another part of the room. He then walked up, grabbed my hand, and walked me into the bedroom.
Okay, so that's not gonna help their cause to try to bring Trump down. This isn't going to help their cause to try to demonize Trump and lose his support. And no matter what other tapes or women they try to get to come forward on MSNBC or CNN, it's just not going to work, folks. And that's the key. So when they try to bring all this up and they try to bring all this out, the attempt is to, again, try to trick you into thinking you're losing, trick you into thinking that Trump's agenda is losing, and just, again, make you feel like you're being defeated. Even though we're having ultimate victories, Trump is not perfect. The American First agenda pushed into the White House by the Republic is what is key. And that's what we're winning with. So they can try to smear Trump as much as they want. And Trump is not perfect, but he is the one we put in the White House to represent America, no matter how flawed he is. And it doesn't matter. That's what they don't get. It doesn't matter how much they try to attack his character. It doesn't matter how much they try to skew the lines of reality. It doesn't matter how much they try to psyop this country into thinking that it's dead, into thinking that the liberal establishment is in full control. And if you're not a social justice virtue signaling liberal, then you're just trash. You're scum. No, the beyond reproach liberal mindset is failing. The beyond reproach liberal smugness is what has turned America off of all of these people. In Hollywood, on late night television, in politics, who sit here all day telling you how they want to help this, do that, push for this, and then look at every city, look at every demographic where Democrats are in charge. Totally failing. California, completely in debt. Illinois, can't pay its bills. Okay? These people have lost, folks. But keep trying, you know what? Keep trying to make Trump the enemy, and you're just going to keep building him up. That's how sick people are of you, CNN.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Filling in for Alex is Owen Schroyer, and we're actually going to hear from Alex in the next segment on an update on new details in the Vegas massacre cover-up. We'll be hearing from Alex in the next segment. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk about a victory that we're having. And it's not a victory in the sense that we want the NFL to fail or I want to see the NFL become obsolete. I'd love to see the NFL be pro-America. I'd love to see the NFL embrace America, be proud of the flag. Instead, Roger Goodell has done the opposite and decided he's not going to make players stand. That's how it looked like he was going to say that. Then he kind of retracted because the players started threatening. So now they've decided what they're going to do is they're just not going to air the national anthem on TV, and they're not going to talk about it during their broadcast. So they're doing their little canoodling with the TV networks to try to avoid those images getting out. But we still hear about it. They're still kneeling. They're still doing their protests. And so all their ratings are down. But let's just look. This all started with Colin Kaepernick. And who is Colin Kaepernick? Well, Colin Kaepernick was a system quarterback that succeeded for about a year and a half because he was in a system that was built for him. He was never really a prolific passer, and he always was kind of known to struggle to throw some passes, but he did get a huge contract. I mean, he's so oppressed. Look at him with his new car and his mansion there. I mean, he's clearly oppressed. So it's got to be tough for Colin Kaepernick. But there's a lot of misinformation about Kaepernick. So he gets this massive contract, $126 million. It was a record contract at the time. He only received about a third of that. I'm not sure what the final total was. But here's the key. He quit. He walked away. He had another year on his deal that he would have made millions and millions of dollars. He's so oppressed. Colin Kaepernick is so oppressed that he walked away from tens of millions of dollars. Do you understand? Do you understand how hard it is to be worth so much money that you can walk away from millions of dollars? That's Colin Kaepernick. So he quits. He leaves the NFL. He chooses to leave. Then the left, the political left and the liberal media is outraged that the NFL's boycotting him. No, he quit. He left. Now he wants to come back and he's demanding 10 mil per year and he wants to start. Kaepernick, you sucked. Colin Kaepernick's last year in the NFL was record-setting suckness. His rating, his numbers, terrible. But he thinks he's worth 10 mil a year? The NFL has a salary cap, dude. So now what? He quits. He blames the league, even though he quit, and he's worth tens of millions of dollars. Then he demands more money than he's worth. Now he's suing the NFL owners for collusion. This is one of the weirdest things. So he's not getting enough publicity. He's not getting enough publicity. Now he's going to sue the NFL owners for collusion. This is not going to go well for him. Colin Kaepernick has hired celebrity lawyer Mark Garagos to sue NFL owners for colluding against hiring him. Again, Kaepernick quit. He quit. He walked away for millions of dollars, and now he's upset because nobody else wants him. Folks, it's been a long thing in the NFL. You don't want distractions on your team. Remember Tim Tebow? Why don't you think people signed Tim Tebow? Because he was such a media storm. But nobody talks about that. But here's the thing. The NFL is totally collapsing. Okay? Colin Kaepernick's support is dwindling. NFL ratings are dwindling. NFL attendance is dwindling. And it all started because Kaepernick wanted to protest the national anthem. Yeah, okay, you can say it was against police, you can say it was against that, but optics become the story. You're kneeling during the national anthem. That's never going to win. But the NFL is starting to collapse at the seams, folks. Angry Jets fans convinced NFL is rigged after a controversial call in a game yesterday. And this is how badly the NFL is collapsing right now. The refs actually got the call right, but now the fans are saying it's rigged because they think you got it wrong. No kidding. The NFL is rigged? Oh my gosh. No one's been telling you that. Brian Toohey hasn't written multiple books on that. Brian Toohey didn't get access to the FBI documents about how the NFL's games have been rigged before. Oops, sorry. It looks like the NFL is in a heap of trouble. Week 6 of the NFL reveals several nearly empty stadiums as fans continue to leave the league. So the victory isn't that the NFL is collapsing or that maybe we're seeing the end of the NFL. That's not the victory. I like watching football. If America would be patriotic like they used to be, this wouldn't be such an issue. They're the ones that have decided to go liberal. They're the ones that have decided to go foaming at the mouth leftist. They're the ones that have decided to shoot themselves in the foot because they think that that narrative wins. They think that that is the side of victory, even though it's the side of absolute collapse and misery right now. So the victory is that we're bigger than the NFL. The NFL is going to have to accept that and realize that. And this is a message to all the other organizations that thought they were bigger than America, all the other individuals that thought they were bigger than America. You're not. Okay? You're not. At the end of the day, you're a football player. And once you protest America, you're going to find out real quick that we like America more than we like football. There's some of the images from the stadiums. These are stadiums that are normally packed, folks. But it's trickling down. Georgia cheerleaders to protest anthem in stadium tunnel. Now, this is where the liberal smugness comes into play. This is a group of cheerleaders from Kennesaw State University in Georgia saying they will kneel until the U.S. flag represents what it should. What does that even mean? Doesn't offer an idea of what she thinks it stands for or what she thinks it should stand for. Just wants to hop on the bandwagon and protest America. They really are showing their true colors. They really are showing how anti-American they are to protest the national anthem. Amazing. It's amazing that this is how far we've come. Is it really, though? Is it really when you hear about a story like this? This is from the College Fix. Ahead of Halloween, universities nationwide tell students what not to wear. So Alex has been telling you about this for a while. It's just gotten more extreme now. We are a culture, not a costume. Who are these people? Who are these people that are so indoctrinated into identity politics that they can't even enjoy Halloween? It's insane. So then they go off and they tell you what you can't wear on Halloween. It's all because of cultural appropriation. Unacceptable costumes are wearing Native American headdresses, dressing up as Mexican by wearing a sombrero, dressing as a geisha, or any form of blackface. I don't know about blackface, but Native Americans, you know, Indians or whatever, and Mexicans, there's always some of the most popular costumes. You know, you walk around as Mexican, you're handing out tequila, you're having a good time, everybody loves you. I remember they're going to use this against me. I dressed up as an Indian one year, and it was one of the most popular costumes I ever did. I went full character. The character was Bear Claw. Everybody loved it. Nobody got offended. Oh my gosh. But now at Liberal University, oh, is he dressed as a Mexican? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Is that girl wearing a Native American headdress? Somebody call the social justice workshop. Somebody call the Diversity Alliance. These are the names of these groups. So now you have diversity heads, cultural appropriation heads, things that shouldn't exist at a university of higher education. So higher education is now becoming daycare. We're going to hear from Alex Jones on the other side and update on the Las Vegas massacre cover-up. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Infowars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
The war was lost. The treaty signed. I was not cut across the line. I was not cut, though many tried. I live among you.
And a couple of these items I will read from the narrative, because I don't want my comments to be construed or changed. So I wanted to ensure the accuracy of that. But most of this conference will be done strictly through my narrative provided to you. Okay? Okay. Okay, first and foremost, I want to give you an update on the injuries.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we know there is a cover-up taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada, concerning the tragic massacre of October 1st, 2017 that left 59 people dead and hundreds of others wounded. We know that there were multiple shooters from all of our military experts and the acoustic evidence, but also witnesses on the ground who were up to a mile away and witnessed active shooters as well. And now we have the sheriff changing his story and the timeline over and over and over again. And when they do change the timeline, it's to line it up with what hotel witnesses saw, what security witnesses saw. But then you add to all of that the fact that we have hostage rescue team and FBI sources that told us day one that Paddock and his girlfriend were traveling to the Middle East and that there was Antifa and Islamic literature in the hotel room at Mandalay where the main shooting reportedly came from. The news is lying. FBI HRT did the hit on the guy and they found Antifa information in the room and photos of the woman in the Middle East. So he did not kill himself. The FBI hostage rescue team killed him because he was firing on them. So he did not want to be taken alive, and reportedly he did it, and it was Antifa crap everywhere. And we're not denying that most of the shooting came from there, but in the first 2.5 minutes, it's coming from multiple positions around downtown Vegas. And you can hear it in congruent, unedited videotapes where taxi cab drivers are sitting in the same spot, and you hear the shots far off in the distance. Then you hear shots at Mandalay right above the drivers. And then we've got footage from a mile away, close to where it happened. And you hear the same cadence, two different firearms. One that is a full auto, smaller firearm. Another that is clearly a light machine gun, belt fed. The experts, including federal law enforcement and former high-level Navy SEALs, have come on this broadcast who testify in federal court on acoustics and have testified that it is completely clear what's going on. Craig Sawyer, a former leader with SEAL Team 6, who hosts major shows on Discovery Channel, has broken it down. But the biggest evidence yet is blaring out in plain view, and that's the sheriff himself, Joe Lombardo. The night it happened, he was cool, collected, and focused. Then a few days later, he gives us the first clues that match up with our sources and the witnesses that there's no way he acted alone, even though the FBI was saying he had to act alone. And there's no way, you know, he could just be doing all this on his own. And that clearly, he probably was radicalized and they were looking into that. Now the story completely changes. And when we look at the FBI agent, who's the chief agent in charge there, he is a Mueller Comey globalist minion involved, along with Mueller and Comey, suppressing investigations of Islamists and others. And that's the big issue here. ISIS, even the AP reported, almost always takes credit for things they've done, not things they haven't done. Even if it's someone inspired by them, if they didn't get a communication from them, they won't take the credit. They took credit day one for this and have continued to take credit. But within hours of the tragic event, before the bodies were even cold, the FBI came out and said no Islamic connection, no ISIS connection, and only one shooter.
As this event unfolds, we have determined to this point no connection with an international terrorist group. As this investigation continues, we will continue to work with our partners to ensure that this is factually, thoroughly, and absolutely investigated to be able to bring comfort and peace back to this community. Thank you.
How could they know that before the investigation had even been performed? And finally, the body language of Sheriff Lombardo. There is almost no one on Infowars.com or Newswars.com or on YouTube. We're talking, we're getting 97, 98% votes on these videos. Even our detractors who normally disagree with us are saying absolutely there's multiple guns. And that sheriff is acting completely and totally freaked out, running scared, deer in the headlights, stammering, looking down. We've gone back to previous press conferences. He didn't act like this. And you've got that FBI agent that our federal sources have told us is bad news in charge, standing behind him, Rouse, glaring and glaring and glaring. We don't know the full story, and we don't have all the answers. But when we question things, and the questions we point out turn out to be valid, and our sources give us info that turns out to be accurate, and then we still get criticized by MSNBC, it's because they have to admit they don't know what's going on. Here's the headline. Las Vegas sheriff in emotional press conference admits he's still searching for answers, but tells you everything you've got to know. There's no collusion between us and the FBI. There's no conspiracy theory here. Conspiracy theory? When all the acoustic evidence and the eyewitnesses and the security people, you name it, tell us the same thing. And now eyewitnesses that weren't even harmed, that are young, that are 29 years old, are dying, and 34 years old are suddenly dying of natural causes. And on top of it, we've got the security guard who reported he was shot at down the hallway 6 minutes before all this happened. He's disappeared. And then we've got witnesses at Mandalay and at other casinos as well, all concurring and lining up with the police scanner audio that there was shooting going on at the Bellagio as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the cover-up that is unraveling the power structure. And the reason it's happening is they did this in 2017. And by they did this, ISIS, the evidence showed, carried out the attack. For whatever reason, the government doesn't want you to know what's going on. You've got stay-behind networks inside the FBI, known for blocking real investigations over and over again of other events, trying to block Trump's agenda as well, and trying to work against him in the Justice Department to overthrow the president and the recovery of our republic. So we have a group with a history of cover-ups. We have evidence of a cover-up, and we have a sheriff that is acting completely and totally scared and discredited, and he's changing his story over and over again. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars.com and our crew and you, the listeners, our human intelligence on the ground, have been proven incredibly accurate yet again, asking questions and finding answers. But we need to stay focused on this case because this could unravel the entire criminal networks of the shadow government that have been pulling off capers like this and covering up capers like this for a long, long time. We know there's a cover-up. Now we've got to find out exactly what they're covering up. And the evidence is overwhelming. It's a concerted ISIS attack that, for whatever reason, they've decided to lie to the public about, and now it's blowing up in their face. I'm Alex Jones, and if you're watching this transmission, you are the resistance.
You know, in the early throes of this tragedy, I had advised each and every one of you that items of information were going to change. The dynamics of this investigation is far-reaching, it's wide, and the name as part of the registration had changed on the 28th to include Mary Lou Danley. So that was the confusion associated with that. No matter what the perception is, whether we were being non-transparent or we were attempting to be subversive, is false. It's important that you continue to listen to me. 959 is important. It wasn't inaccurate when I provided it to you. The circumstances associated with it is inaccurate. Everybody understand that? No question, sir. There is no conspiracy between the FBI, between LVMPD and the MGM. Nobody is attempting to hide anything, reference this investigation. So at this point, I want to thank the community. I want to thank you for letting me be your sheriff and Vegas Strong.
Receiving this transmission, you are resistance.
We've taken thousands of years of known research and put it together with our own 4 years of seeking and testing to find the very best systems that God gave us through Mother Nature to detoxify the body. That's why I'm introducing Z-Shield, toxic metal and chemical defense support. It's made in the USA. It's filled with known compounds from nature that are absolutely associated with detoxifying the body, and it supports the InfoWar. It is a classical 360 win. This is the formula that I personally have been taking for over a year, and now we believe we have come as close to perfection when it comes to a detoxifier as you can possibly get. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, and you owe it to the future of this country and the world that patriots stay as healthy and as clean and as focused as you can be, because we need you, the remnant of America, to reignite those brush fires to the next level and to be healthy and as focused as you can be. Thanks to your support and your prayers, together we're changing the world. Now it's time to change our bodies with Z-Shield at InfoWarsLife.com.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
In a time where everything is politicized, the Vegas massacre cover-up has actually broke that paradigm. And Alex mentioned that in the last video, how people that are quote-unquote liberals or detractors of InfoWars, people that don't usually like our reporting, have seen our reporting on the Vegas massacre, on the cover-up, and are completely aligned with us, in complete agreement with us, and are willing to put all the partisan stuff behind where they might disagree, because it's so important. We don't let them get away with these cover-ups. We don't let them get away with whatever type of event they had planned for whatever reason. They'll never tell us the truth. And you just heard a report from Alex Jones breaking it all down. Now, here's a report from Alex Jones, a special report on the collapse of the Hollywood establishment.
It's not that the American flag's perfect. It's not that they haven't used it to launch wars that are wrong. It's not that we don't get sometimes, it can be a little cheesy. Until you realize there's a widow there that lost her son, or a father there that lost his daughter, or a sister there that lost her brother. And then you realize that all we have is these old institutions. And they're not perfect, but the globalists are pushing. Oh, we know it's real bad. It's not based on people. It's not based on strength. It's based on lies. It's based on fraud. They want to override everything, not to make it better, but to make it worse. America was the override. The Renaissance was the override. True human empowerment. Bring down the royals. Bring down the elites. Free market. Ideas. Total open society. Soros calls his group that because he's fighting open society. It's like Rose McGowan put out, Weinstein, write me. Twitter suspends her account. Oh, it's the woman, it's the feminist, but at that point, see, you don't protect her because what you claim you're promoting and what you're doing is the opposite. See, that's the joke. It's like the old Dragnet TV show. They made a movie about it in the 80s with Tom Hanks and Aykroyd.
Good evening, pagans.
Dragnet. And you got the Playboy owner, and he just is having a good time. He's not a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's just, you know, kind of a seedy twit.
You have to admire their techniques in crowd control.
But it's the preacher. Preacher selling drugs and devil worshiping and killing people.
Normalcy.
P-A-G-A. And what's Hollywood telling you there? They're throwing it in your face. And you imagine the prison that it is to be somebody like Harvey Weinstein's wife, who, to make her clothing line successful, she has to marry this guy who she doesn't love, who he doesn't love, so that she can bully other stars to make them wear her clothes. And then she feels powerful by doing that. See, somebody that isn't a psychopath goes, that's really stupid. And that's why they run our lives. And then I look at these people that are wedded to what they're wedded to, and it's like, Who wants to be Quentin Tarantino? He's not a good director. He's just a degenerate and super deformed and ugly. So they like him because he likes to defile people. He's acting dumb. He doesn't know about the Weinstein stuff. Give me a break, you little thug. And he just was looking at me and hating me so much and then pointing at me and talking crap about me because the guy is a deformed demon. I mean, I'm sad for deformed people, but he's a deformed, ugly, stupid, warped person that a demon uses like a pen to, you know, write Pulp Fiction. He's a tool. He's a tool bag. And he sees somebody like me who just is a normal person, a farmer, and he hates me, and he wants to destroy me.
Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
It's the time of the season.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I want to open up the phone lines to your comments. You can comment on the Vegas massacre cover-up. You can comment on the newest line of attacks against President Trump. You can comment on the failing ratings and attendance of the NFL, the collapse of Hollywood. All that is on the table. 1-877-789-ALEX. 1-877-789-ALEX. And again, they're not going to get away with this Vegas cover-up. It'll be interesting to see, though, what happens down the line. Can they just sweep this under the rug and have America forget about it? Or will we continue to hound this thing until we see some action? Real quick, let's hit some news before we get to the phone lines. Dow Industrial's dalliance with 23,000 is a sign of the stock market's velocity. So there's a little bit of a timeline on this Market Watch article that you can see how the stock market has ratcheted up since President Trump, well, since he was elected, not even before he was, not even after he was inaugurated, but since he was elected, it's had a huge boost. Now other people, there's other narratives out there. Is this good? Is this bad? Regardless, the fact is the stock market continues to hit record highs seemingly every week. It was like every day for a while. Now it's like every week. It just continues to grow. Leaflets calling for Trump's death rain down on Seoul, and South Korean drills begin. U.S. South Korean drills begin. So there's the pamphlet that I'm assuming, North Korea drops on Seoul. Some North Korean propaganda there. If you do the wrong thing with it, they'll torture you to death. So what does that mean for the current geopolitical structure with North Korea? Especially when you have Rex Tillerson say he's pledging diplomacy with North Korea until first bomb drops. Boy, that's awfully overshadowing. As if they know a bomb is going to drop. So, Trump is doing something different with our foreign relations than Obama. And if everything hits the fan, they'll blame Trump, but really, these seeds were planted by Obama. Trump's trying to make it right. Who knows if there's a peaceful solution to any of this. Now, Trump is decertifying the Iran. He's decertified the Iran deal, put it back in the hands of Congress to do something about it, making Congress go to work on Obamacare after he removed some of the illegal subsidies from that. He's now decertified the Iran deal. So Congress has a bunch of work to do with Obamacare and with the Iran deal. And they're all pulling their hair out because they're ticked that Trump is making them work. They can't believe that President Trump isn't being a dictator, isn't being a pen in hand in chief president like Obama was. They don't want to do work. They don't want this put on their desk. They'd rather have the president do everything so they can remain blameless. Trump's not going to have it that way. He's making Congress go to work. And if they want to be the ones perpetuating these bad deals, they will be the ones that have to face the music. Not Trump, who had nothing to do with Obamacare. Not Trump, who had nothing to do with the Iran deal. Now, the decertification of the Iran deal has all of the anti-Israel crowd in a tizzy. Trump only answers to Israel. This is a totally Israel first deal. Well, okay, would you rather be close with Israel or would you rather be close with Iran? Is this just Trump ratcheting back the Obama era policy that was very anti-Israel? So to no one's shock, here's Netanyahu praising Trump's decision on the Iran deal.
Netanyahu, he joins us from Jerusalem. It's good to be with you, Mr. Prime Minister. Why do you think what the president has done is going to lead to a better situation?
Well, I'm focused on the result, and I think that right now the deal as it stands guarantees that Iran will have not a single nuclear bomb, but an entire nuclear arsenal within 10 years. And I think the president was very courageous in saying, I'm not going to kick this can down the road. I'm not going to say, well, it's going to be on somebody else's watch. I'm going to stop this from happening because, remember, we cannot allow Iran, the world's foremost terrorist regime that hangs gays, kills protesters, jails journalists, and foments aggression throughout the region and the world. We cannot allow this rogue regime, 30 times the size of North Korea's economy, to have a nuclear arsenal. It's a very brave decision, and I think it's the right decision for the world.
So there you go. There is Netanyahu talking about Trump's decision on the Iran deal. What was the amount of cash that Obama gave Iran? Can you guys pull that up? Straight cash, homie. Obama to Iran. I mean, what the heck is that? Oh, but it's just, see, it's just too bad. I mean, Trump is having to clean up all of this Obama trash. Look at that. $1.7 billion payment to Iran was all in cash. Okay. $1.7 billion to Iran from Obama. Okay. So Trump is having to clear up all of this trash left behind by Obama, and the media blames Trump because he's doing what he has to do to clean up the mess left by Obama. And it's just, Trump is Obama's legacy in that Obama was so far to the left that Trump is now so far to the right as a reaction to the allergy that was liberalism in the White House. So it's going to seem pretty extreme. Let's start on some of these phone calls. Guys, can you blow that up a little bit? It looks like first is that Josh in Colorado. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Alan. You're doing some great work. Happy to see you on InfoWars. First thing I wanted to bring up was I saw this video about a strange-looking SWAT team in the Tropicana.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And they're like, well, you have? Okay. Well, I haven't heard anybody talk about it.
Oh, sure. And we've talked about it.
It's weird that they're like pointing guns at people telling everybody to put their hands up. I mean,
yeah, we've got that video in the archive. If you guys want to roll that as B-roll, again, for other listeners that aren't familiar with this, a SWAT team going through the Tropicana, guns drawn, pointing at people. There's a two people behind them that they have a strange, some sort of communication with. There's a walkie-talkie there and a strange sack. There's a guy in the middle of this group with a stretcher that it doesn't really make much sense, and they're pointing their guns at people. Yeah, nobody's talking about this. I don't know. I don't even know what to think about this. Some people obviously have made their, conspiracy theories on this one. I just simply don't know what to think. It's very strange.
Yeah, it's very strange. And if you look at like the Google Earth layout of where all this happened, the Tropicana is right behind where the event was. And the other thing that
a lot of eyewitnesses are saying shots came from behind the stage. So it's key that you mention that. Yeah.
And the other thing that I'm not sure a lot of people have noticed is like the Jordan Maxwell kind of thing. They did it right in front of a black pyramid with the capstone cut off and the light shooting right out the top.
And oh, yeah. No. Whoa. I'm crazy when I mention human sacrifice happening in front of a pyramid. I mean, let's be very clear. That has no historical context. Human sacrifice has never happened at the foot of pyramids, in Egypt, in South America, anywhere. It's never happened. You're just a conspiracy theorist. How dare you even bring up history at a harvest festival? How dare you?
Well, and he was on the 32nd floor. And it was the Route 91 festival. There's some weird symbolism.
Harvest Festival. Yeah, and every room that he rented where he was allegedly going to do these mass shootings were facing the direction of Mecca. Just, again, just weird. I mean, you know, what am I supposed to do? I have to report on it. Thank you for the call, Josh. Let's go to Amy in New Jersey on Hollywood. Go ahead, Amy. You've got a short time here.
I hope I could be fast enough. You know, I'm a parent, and this whole Hollywood thing should be a wake-up call for parents. Like, I have a 9-year-old. I'm very aware. I would never let her go to these places, to auditions, to star in a show if I was not there monitoring every move every adult that was around her was doing. This should be really a wake-up call to people that have kids that want to get into acting.
That's exactly what Corey Feldman said. Watch out if you send your kids there. Great call from Amy. Hollywood's collapsing. Don't go anywhere. Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back. One last dance for the globalists as everything they're doing is burning in a structure fire. The collapse of Hollywood, the collapse of mainstream news, the collapse of cover-ups that they try to do when they run things like the Vegas massacre. The collapse of all the anti-American establishment is burning to the ground right now. And this is their final dance. And sometimes it's darkest right before the dawn. But we will be victorious, folks. They'll throw everything they can against the wall. They'll throw everything they can against President Trump. And they're going to continue to lose the hearts and minds of American people and people all over the world. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Joe calling in from Canada. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. Are you hearing me?
I'm sorry. Hello. Go ahead.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So about the Las Vegas shooting, I'm under the impression that it's way deeper than we might see it. Not exactly an attack on the conservatives, but first on the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, and at the same time, I lost my track of thought.
Well, they're showing their true colors here when you see them all coming out saying, oh, if conservatives won't even act after kids get shot and after their own people get shot, they'll never act. We need unilateral action against guns. We need to repeal the Second Amendment. They'll never learn. No matter how many of them we kill.
Oh, that's my point. I think it's deeper than that. They are using that false flag because obviously that's what it is, considering all the cover-ups and all the inconsistencies. I think it's deeper than that. It's not an attack on the conservatives. It's an attack on America, okay? And that's where we shouldn't fall on the trap. Because we already know that they want to start a violent event on November 4th. And I think that they want to ignite something, but they want to ignite genuine conservative radicals.
Yeah, there's no doubt they want to start a civil war. They want to fracture this nation, fracture its people in order to conquer it, bring it down, bring in a police state, start a bunch of violence. And it's completely failed. I mean, that's the thing about this. I guarantee you they thought that they could pull off so much crap because of this Vegas massacre, coming after the Second Amendment, coming after people that doubt the narrative, and it totally blew up in their face because everyone doubts the narrative and nobody is going for the more gun legislation as the answer. It's totally failed. Thank you so much for the call, Joe. Let's move on to John in Wisconsin. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, how you doing, Owen?
Good.
Yeah, hey, listen, none of the mainstream radio talk shows, even the conservative ones, are even mentioning anything about the shooting right now.
I completely disagree. I'm a pretty voracious consumer of media, especially talk radio. Rush Limbaugh has kind of ignored it. He's mentioned the inconsistencies, but for the most part ignored it. Michael Savage has been all over it. for the whatever time Hannity actually covers stuff on his talk show and doesn't plug stuff, he's kind of mentioned how there's nothing really adding up here in talking to eyewitnesses. But what do you expect on most of these other shows that are totally either controlled by corporate media or they're too afraid of their own shadow to say something that might get them kicked off the air?
Well, all the ones in my area filter all the callers, for sure. Mm.
And you're calling in from Wisconsin? Is that the local terrestrial radio where you listen?
Yeah, I listen to some talk shows, AM talk shows in Milwaukee and one in Chicago.
Well, this is why people listen to Alex Jones. I mean, this is why Alex Jones' audience continues to grow when other people won't talk about these subjects. This is why InfoWars continues to grow, and this is why people go to InfoWarsStore.com because they want to see more of our media, more of us attacking what's really going on and searching for truth and not just going along with official narratives.
I got one huge question for you, though. Brendan Tatum was on Alex Jones' show and your show for about 3 hours totally on the 6th of this month.
Yeah, he's going to be back on the War Room with me this week.
Well, yeah, well, you ought to ask him why he retired, because according to he made an appearance on Tucker Carlson's show on the 10th. And he played a clip, and he talked to him a little bit, and I can't remember why he was even brought on a show, but as far as I know, that's the only mainstream TV that he's been on. And he mentioned that he retired on the 9th. But what's up with that?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to him about that. I'm not familiar exactly with what you're talking about, but I'll be talking to him this week. Thank you for the call, John. Let's move on to Alyssa in Oregon. Go ahead, Alyssa. You want to talk about the allegations against Trump?
Yeah, thanks, Ellen. I was just remembering back when I first started listening to Alex Jones. This was around this time last year. This was shortly before the whole Trump tapes thing came out. Alex Jones did one of those videos where he's broadcasting from his house, and he talked about receiving a dossier from someone inside the DNC about how they were going to use these so-called victims to try and accuse Donald Trump of sexual assault, which was that was actually one of the main reasons why I didn't believe any of the stuff that came out in the mainstream is because Alex warned us about this ahead of time. It was like maybe a week or so before all of this broke.
Yeah, we had some experts that were coming on telling us that. I know Roger Stone's going to be joining us in the next segment. Larry Nichols may have been reporting on that too. I can't even remember all the people that came on and were warning us about this.
So I think that Alex Jones should rehash that and just really expose how this is all just a big DNC operation. And just blow their narrative completely out of the water. That was a very powerful broadcast, and I hope Alex can kind of drudge that up somewhere and show it again to his audience who may have missed it.
Well, there's no doubt that the sources that come to InfoWars come to us because they know nobody else wants to run with it, and we're not afraid to run with it. But these are standard tactics for the Democrat Party. Okay, the Democrat Party has been totally exposed via WikiLeaks and via Project Veritas. I mean, this is a joke. Oh my gosh. You sit here and you just think about it. Look at all the stuff that Project Veritas has exposed from CNN, from the New York Times, from the DNC. I mean, this is a joke. There's the video she's talking about. Leaked. Democrats plan to pin rape hoax on Trump. This is from October 9th, 2016. Alex Jones breaks down the latest salvo in this rusing. Pull that back up, guys. In the rusing, Call the Patriots Everywhere. So here's the video. Leak. Democrats plan to pin rape hoax on Trump. That's what the caller was talking about. We saw this from the beginning. Oh, what do you know? InfoWars.com. Tomorrow's News Today. InfoWars.com. Next week's News Today. InfoWars.com. Next month's News Today. InfoWars.com. Next year's News Today. InfoWars.com. Next decade's News Today. We'll be right back with Roger Stone. Don't go anywhere.
The answer to 19. 19- 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. As you just heard in the segment before, Alex Jones predicted all of this. Wow, that was a year ago. Huh, good. Well, Roger, you knew it was coming too. This is what they do. They try to project what they're guilty of on their opponents, and they're trying to use the momentum of Harvey Weinstein Gate to put Trump's back against the wall. Roger, you saw this coming. What do you think about the new allegations that are really the old allegations against President Trump?
Well, Alex Jones was right on the money on this. He predicted several times that the left would try to recycle the sexual assault smear against the president. Let's remember that last year when Lisa Bloom, who is the daughter of Gloria Allred, also an attorney, most recently the attorney, oddly enough, for Harvey Weinstein, until that burden got so great that she resigned, represented a woman making claims against Trump. The woman promised her appearance at a press conference. She was a no-show. And this Clinton black op collapsed. From the beginning, I think Bill and Hillary understood that they had enormous vulnerability on this issue because of Bill's serial assaults of numerous women, raping, biting, sexually attacking, exposing himself, demanding oral sex, that they had to create a phony counter narrative. I think Soros and the big boys have figured out that Bill and Hillary are not really the ones to carry this message against Trump because, of course, they have no credibility whatsoever on the question of violence against women or sexual assaults. What's amazing is that this new charge, recycled from a woman named Summer Zevos, I believe it is, there's no legal cause of action in California. There is no lawsuit that would hold up anywhere. This is a new recycled public relations attack on the president, trying to use, as you put it, Owen, the fact that the Weinstein issue has raised public awareness and consciousness of the sexual harassment and assault issue. Now let's try to gum Trump up in it if we can.
Yeah, it's not going to work. We were already ahead of this. We're going to get out ahead of it again. But again, I think that the key that you just mentioned is, where is their legal case here? It's non-existent.
Well, and Hillary's ridiculous claim that the charges against her husband have all been litigated. No, actually only one has, and that ended up in a settlement of $850,000 paid to Paula Jones to make that suit go away. There's never been justice for Juanita Broderick. There's never been justice for Kathleen Willey. There has never been justice for numerous other women who were brutally assaulted by Bill Clinton and then, most importantly, threatened, bullied, intimidated with the most brutal tactics by Hillary Clinton, at the direction of Hillary Clinton. How do we know this, Owen? Well, it's in David Brock's book, The Education of Hillary Rodham, where even he confirms that it's Hillary who hires the heavy-handed private detectives and the nasty lawyers to threaten Bill's various victims.
And, of course, let's not forget about the forgotten son of Bill Clinton, Danny Williams. Roger, I suspect that they've obviously been grooming for this. They've been planning for this. I suspect that they have another tape or more tapes or something else that they're going to try to use for shock value to try to add some fuel to the non-existent fire here or the small flame. I just don't think it's going to land. I don't think that America's buying it anymore. The mainstream media has already spent their wad, especially with their support of Hillary Clinton, ignoring all of her crimes. If they really think that this is going to work, they've got the wrong idea here, because it doesn't matter to me, Roger. It doesn't matter what tapes. It's kind of like what Trump said. He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he would still have his support. I think that that's going to be the case no matter what they try to draw forth.
Interesting enough, I didn't think that comment is a distortion. What Trump was referring to when he said that was that he had such little support right there in liberal Manhattan where he lives. His country, his support was in the heartland. Therefore, you can shoot in any direction and you wouldn't lose any votes. It was not a reference to cruelty or violence. It was about the makeup of New York City, which is now, I think, down to 18% registered Republicans in the entire city of New York, which is extraordinary. I think that this new initiative may be sans the Clintons. I think Soros and those who are disappointed in the way David Brock bungled this black op last time. I have inside sources who tell me that this was a Clinton operation start to finish. They actually placed ads looking for women who could conjure up a memory of having been assaulted by Donald Trump. Several women came forward. They couldn't remember where, when, what date, what year, what they were. They couldn't remember anything about it. They were just certain that it had happened. This was bogus from the get-go. Donald Trump, the president, has denied it during the campaign. It's beneath his dignity to try to engage in it now. But it shows the viciousness of the forces that seek to remove him. I mean, the idea that Hillary would try to bash Trump as a sexist, given the pig-like activities of her husband and her own role in the cover-up, it just boggles the mind.
Or her close friend, Huma Abedin's husband, Anthony Weiner. You know, he's convicted of sexting a minor. But it really shows the desperation, Roger, and the distinct difference between the two sides, where now you have leftist, outlets, media outlets, basically saying, we're putting out a bounty for anyone who can give us information about Trump. These people are so desperate, and they'll reach for the most greedy, self-serving people who don't want to act out of truth, who don't want to act out of, you know, getting real things out into the public. Ooh, you're going to pay me for information that's bad against President Trump? Maybe I do know something. There's the latest. Have dirt that could impeach Trump. Larry Flint will pay you $10 million. So they're so desperate and they have nothing that they literally have to put a bounty out for anything to try to bring Trump down.
Yeah, it is pitifully transparent.
Larry Flint, by the way, a strip club owner.
Well, and at least a former pornographer. As a libertarian, I don't have any real problem with his livelihood. But in all honesty, you're right. They have no case against Trump. So, pardon the expression. They now seek to Trump one up, to hoke one up. They did this before; it failed. I agree with you. It will fail again. It is just again an attempt to deflect attention. We've seen this one before. Hillary, Bill, the Podesta brothers, up to their noses in money from the oligarchs around Vladimir Putin, getting paid giant fees for speeches in Russia. Oh, look, Donald Trump's in bed with Putin and the Russians. It's a willful campaign of distraction. You said it first. They accuse us consistently of what they themselves are guilty of. And we've now seen this trend. Elliot Spitzer, Anthony Weiner, Bill Clinton, Harvey Weinstein. My question to you is a simple one. Where are the women in the pussy hats? Where are the women marchers? Why aren't they marching on Hollywood? Where are they? Why do I hear deafening silence?
Yeah, let's not forget also Michael Moore, who was the leader of the Women's March, praised Harvey Weinstein in the past. Ashley Judd gets up on the stage, says, I'm a nasty woman. Well, apparently not as nasty as Harvey, because she's one of the ones that came out against Harvey Weinstein.
And what's amazing is that this was evidently common knowledge inside the, you know, the vaunted halls of Hollywood and New York. I never liked Harvey Weinstein, but I not traveling in those circles, were unaware of these allegations. But evidently, a number of major media vehicles, mainstream medical vehicles, were well aware of them. And it took a long time for this story to finally
make it. Yeah, they joked about it. Seth MacFarlane joked about it. 30 Rock joked about it. We'll be right back with more of Roger Stone. This is The Alex Jones Show. Brain Force Plus is 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. If you've never tried Brain Force, an excellent nutraceutical, try it now for 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. This is one of our most highly rated popular products on the website. Over 5,000 reviews. 4.6 stars is where it stands. That is very impressive. Brain Force, 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Try this natural focus booster. Give it a shot. No crash, no jitters, just clean focus. That's Brain Force Plus, 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Look at some of these other specials we've got. How about 40% off Survival Shield X2? You know, this is a product that's really good for fighting against some of the toxins in your body, like the fluoride or radioactive particles. And you've got these stories in Europe where they've got radioactive particles. They don't know where they came from. Well, if that ever happened here, you'd want something to fight back against it. And before the shelves run dry, we've got the special right now, 40% off Survival Shield X2. This is even higher rated than Brain Force. My goodness, 4.9 star review, over 5,700 reviews, folks. That's basically that's a perfect review. You basically have a 100% positive feedback on Survival Shield X2, and we still bring it to you at 40% off. This is a necessity for me. I never am without Survival Shield X2. Whether I'm on the road, at home, at work, I've got at least one bottle. It's perhaps my favorite product as far as its absolute power. Survival Shield X2, 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out all the specials at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off Caveman, 50% off Emmerich's Essentials. The list goes on and on. We now go back to Roger Stone. Roger, we accurately predicted what they would try to do against Trump. It's not going to work for them. Take a moment, take a break from your corn cob and break it down for the audience.
Well, I must say, Owen, first of all, we'll be on at 5 o'clock Eastern today, 4 o'clock Central Time on the War Room to further break down this attempted smear at President Donald Trump, resurrecting discredited charges from over a year ago, which involves both the lawyer Gloria Allred and her lawyer daughter Lisa Bloom. It's the same conspiracy, slightly different faces. But I must tell you, this would be impossible without Brain Force. This is a product I highly recommend. I was up late last night writing. I have to write at night because the phone is ringing off the hook during the day. And then I was honored to be on with David Knight this morning, on with you now, on in a little while in the War Room. Unthinkable without Brain Force. This product, which is all natural, really helps me get mental clarity, focus, and a certain, mental creative energy to help synthesize everything we're trying to communicate here at InfoWars. So I joined the chorus. And at this kind of deep discount, now is the time. 50% off, I believe. Terrific price. We are trying to analyze where this is going. My guess is the entire sexual assault meme that is now going to be recycled by the left is an attempt to soften him up for what is undeniably still coming from Robert Mueller, an attempted coup d'etat based on cooked up charges that could be obstruction of justice in the Comey matter, could be some other fraudulent claim. The left cannot get over the election of Donald Trump. They cannot get over the sea change he's trying to bring us, his Supreme Court nomination successful, his cutting and slashing of regulations, causing the uptick in job creation, a record stock market, withdrawing us from the ridiculous $9 billion price tag of the Paris Climate Accords, moving us out of NAFTA, and then lastly, making it very clear that he's not going to let the Iranians defraud us in the Iranian arms deal. Iranian nuclear deal, I should say, which is an expensive fraud upon the people.
Well, the amazing thing is they were so obsessed over the Russia thing. They thought that the Russia thing was their big thing. That's what they were going to ride to the impeachment. They were going to ride the Russia collusion all the way to Trump's impeachment. They were going to ride the Russia collusion all the way to get Trump out of office. Totally failed. So now they're trying to rehash these other allegations against Trump because the Russia thing is just totally failed. Now, do you suspect, though, that they're going to try to let this Russia thing ride off into the sunset? I know that they keep reporting on it. Or do you think they're going to come back full force with the Russia thing again?
Well, the problem is that they don't have anything. And I was Senator Richard Burr, who is hardly a Trump supporter, admitted the other day in a press conference that they still have no hard evidence of collusion or coordination or conspiracy between the Trump camp and anyone associated with Trump and the Russian state. Yet Congressman Adam Schiff writes in the Washington Post in an op-ed piece that we shouldn't be so close to closing this investigation. Why not? It's costing billions and it's provided nothing, zero, bupkis, nada. There is the narrow question of whether the Russians sought to interfere in our election. Well, Boris and Ivan have to tell their boss they're doing something, even if buying some poorly written and ineffective Facebook ads turns out to be it. But there's no evidence that the Trump campaign provided targeting or knew about, coordinated any of those efforts. That is a bogus charge without foundation that you'll find on Twitter and Facebook, but not in reality.
So they got Facebook admitting like, okay, we had some Russians buy some ads here or there. But if there's this huge thing about Russia trying to rig our elections, meddle in our society, well, why isn't Facebook, coming down? Why does Facebook just get off scot-free if this is such a big deal? They're the ones colluding, apparently. So it's amazing how Facebook is just like, oh, yeah, we did it, but nothing against us, though.
Yeah, no, Zuckerberg took the money. If he was so disturbed about this effort, why did he take the money? These ads appear to me to be ineffective, poorly written. I can't even understand if they were wisely targeted based on the scanty information that's come forward.
I never saw them before.
But I never saw them during the campaign. But again, I think there's a real distinction, at least on the House Intelligence Committee. The Republicans seem to me to be committed to trying to determine whether there was conspiracy, coordination, or collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian state. And the Democrats seem to be interested in playing gotcha and trying to dig up something that is simply not there. There is no proof of collusion. That's why I call it the Russian collusion delusion. It's just as phony as these new charges against the president of sexual assault. They're manufactured. Somebody is paying for them. The women last year, I believe they were paid as well to bear false witness against the president.
Yeah, and the same people that are foisting these allegations into the mainstream are people like David Brock and Media Matters and all of his super PACs. And then again, you look right at him, you look squarely at David Brock and you say, wow, you ought to be audited. You look like you're running a money laundering scheme.
Yeah, an extraordinary report the other night on the War Room where Andrew Kerr came on and laid out extensive complaints from the Citizens Audit Organization against Brock's money-making scheme. I mean, if I were George Soros, I would want my money back. This guy has been so notably unsuccessful and ineffective, despite the fact that he has ground through or burned through millions and millions of dollars, not without putting a few shekels in his own pocket, of course.
Yeah, his pocket and all of his partner's pocket. They just funnel this money back and forth between all of David Brock's super PACs and foundations, and then they get a little hit back every time. This is something Andrew Kerr has been working on for over a year now. He's really been doing great investigative reporting into that. I'd love to see the IRS investigate that, but this is the same IRS that got caught targeting conservatives, and they got away with it, Roger. I wish that the Justice Department would step up somewhere. All right, Roger, we got 60 seconds. You're going to be on the War Room later today. Final words as you depart our audience.
Yeah, I think it's very important people understand and are prepared to refute this sexual assault smear on the president. We're going to break it down for you on the War Room. Don't miss it.
I'm not to get back to this to make a joke. It's just so ridiculous how you've got these allegations against President Trump with no real groundwork, no real legal case. And then we have videos of Michael Michelle Obama literally with something flopping around in her private areas. I'm not saying it is or isn't anything. I'm just saying we've got the video and we get nothing on that. And there's nothing wrong. Hey, if you want to, you know, if you want to do that and do whatever and be Michael Obama, then that's perfectly fine. Or Michelle Michael Obama or Mooch, whatever you want to call her. But no, the president's bad, even though he's the one cleaning up the Obama mess, trying to make America first again. Roger Stone will be on the War Room later today. We're going to be joined by Jack Posobiec in the fourth hour. Don't go anywhere. So you try to have a little fun talking about Mooch Michael Obama's codpiece, but then you're reminded how sick and twisted it really is, folks. Satanic-looking drag queen with horns reads to little kids at Michelle Obama Public Library in Long Beach. This is beyond twisted. This is beyond weird. This is beyond sick. This is quite literally a satanic ritual. There's the picture of quote-unquote Zuchi Moochie, a transsexual that read to children at Michelle Obama's library today. Now, most of our audience is on the radio. So basically this transsexual, I guess, man turned woman, I really don't know. It's... what are we supposed to call these people so we don't go to jail? G is wearing a dress and some fine jewelry. It looks like a cape or gown or something. Some crazy red hair. But the strange part here, the whole thing is strange. The strangest part is caked on makeup on the face to look demonic. And then five horns coming out of the head. So a literal headdress with horns caked on with makeup, transsexual crossdresser is reading to children at the Michelle Obama Library in Long Beach, California. Zuchi Moochie. Now, here's the flyer. LGBTQ History Month at Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library. Why do you think Michelle Obama is having this at her library, folks? It's a transsexual. Okay, that's a man. Or it was a man. No, it is a man. Michael Obama. So, Michael Obama, now Michelle Obama, hosts LGBTQ History Month at her library because that's the community that her and her husband are a part of. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. If Barack and Michelle are, you know, in that community, that's perfectly fine. I have no problem with that. But to bring this, they even call it, look at this, Drag Queen Story Hour featuring Zuchi Moochie. Zuchi Moochie. Where do you find Zuchi Moochie? Zuchi Moochie, the drag queen who dressed as a demon, posted the same photo to his, her, jizz Instagram account and commented on Twitter about the event. The bio reads, "Attention Earthlings, this is Zuchi Moochie, your resident killer clown from outer space. I dress up in drag and love tacos." Okay. Zuchi Moochie tweeted, "I got to read to the children today, and it was one of the best experiences I've been given as a, what, killer clown?" And then someone tweets, "Viva La Ames." I think I follow her on Twitter. "Yeah, that wouldn't give kids nightmares." Zuchi Moochie responds, "You should have been there. The excitement in the children's eyes was everything." And then a kissy face. Church of Satan. Hail Satan. That's nice. Omar Navarro, he's running against Maxine Waters in California, tweets out in response to the Zuchi Moochie demon, "What are we teaching kids in school? Demonic teachings alive in Long Beach. I'm outraged they would allow this." Well, yeah, I mean, anybody left with a brain would be outraged they allow this. Pull up Zucci Mucci's Twitter real quick, guys. Or pull up Michelle Obama's codpiece. Either one. It really doesn't matter. This is all you need to know. Okay? Michelle Obama hosting the LGBTQ day because she's part of that community as a transsexual and then has a cross-dressing demon speak to kids at her library. Why do you have a cross-dressing demon speaking to kids? Is that normal?
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Coming back here live, big fourth hour Alex Jones show here on InfoWars. Jack Posobiec sitting in. We have so much we want to break down. There's so much that I want to get into. But first things first is that I understand that back at our flagship, see, I'm coming out live from Washington, D.C., but back at the flagship at the mothership in Austin, Owen Schroer is still there. Owen, you still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why Michelle Obama had a cross-dressing demon speak to kids at her library today. I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure because the last time that I came down to Austin, you were down in Rio. So I wasn't sure if that was something that you brought back with you. You may have summoned that from Carnival and had that demon follow you back into the country.
No, I was not at Carnival. That is yet to happen down there in Brazil. A little bit of culture for the people.
Are you calling me fake news?
Well, it's just ridiculous because that's something that they would say, oh, look at the crazy rhetoric that comes out of InfoWars. They're claiming a satanic drag queen dressed like a demon is speaking to kids. Like that's just some crazed rhetoric. No, the Long Beach Public Library, Michelle Obama's library, put it on Facebook themselves. So they're proud of this.
And see, I'm not going to lie. When I first saw that, I thought surely this is some kind of Halloween, you know, costume kind of thing, and it has something to do with that. And then as I read, I said, oh, this is being considered as normal. This is considered normalized for children that they should attend and view someone like this in front of our kids. And again, nobody's saying that it's necessarily illegal, but is there or anything like that. But should we be raising our kids with this type of thing being put in their faces every day instead of, like, you know, actually just promoting literacy? I mean, I remember reading like Curious George and, you know, well, we can't read that Dr. Seuss anymore, right? Mm. So they took away Dr. Seuss and they've replaced Dr. Seuss with what is their name again?
Zhi's name is, let's get this right here. Zucci Mucci.
Zucci Mucci. Okay, Mucci. So
there she is.
Replaced. Yeah, no more Dr. Seuss, but we've replaced Dr. Seuss with Zucci Mucci for our children, and this is how kids want to get raised in our country. She only has 866 followers. Oh, that's too bad.
I'm just confused here again because I'm a libertarian. I don't care. Whatever you want to do with yourself, you know, whatever you want to do when you're considering.
Don't get me wrong.
But we have to just ask ourselves the question, why are we having drag queen story hour at the Michelle Obama library? And then why is she clearly dressing up as a demon and trying to corrupt these young children's minds?
Yeah, this is the type of thing that really begs a lot of questions, you know, and it's crazy because people will call Alex and call ourselves conspiracy theorists and every name under the sun for talking about how this stuff goes on. And I'm going to talk to a guest coming up here at 3:30 about the Hollywood culture and about how we have been talking about these things for years at this point. And now when it all comes true, now that we have the power of social media, we can share these pictures and videos breaking as fast as it happens. They can't cover it up anymore. They can't cover up the crimes like Harvey Weinstein anymore. And this is one of those things where they're saying it's an open secret. Everybody knew about it. Well, Owen, we've been the ones that have been sounding the bell since for years that this sort of stuff was going on in our country and in our culture, because there's a second layer to all this stuff. Yeah, we're reporting it, but we also want to ask the question. And that's why I love InfoWars, is because InfoWars will ask the question, is this the right direction for our society?
Yeah, someone needs to at least bring this to the attention of parents that may be sending their kids to the library while this is going on. I mean, okay, do you want your kids to be sexualized by a drag queen and a transsexual? That depends if you want to follow Michelle Obama or not. But this is just strange, Zuchi Moochi. And again, it lends to everything we've been talking about, how they want to sexualize the children. They want to bring this demonized culture, like literally satanic culture, into the mainstream, have it at public libraries, and just pass it off as normal, accepted. This is just the norm now.
Yeah, and you look what they do, Owen. You look at how they go after our institutions and our traditions. They go after things like Dr. Seuss. They go after things like standing up for the American flag and showing patriotism at an NFL games. They go after our sports. They go after our, you know, our athletics. They look to take down everything that makes America America, and then you see the type of things that they want to replace it with, the type of stuff that they want to supplant it with. And they also know that by using something that's so admittedly triggering to a lot of people is that there's going to be discussion about it, and then they can say if anybody says there's something wrong with it, they're going to decry you as transphobic or not being tolerant of alternate lifestyle choices. When nobody's saying anything like that, what we're saying is this really the best sociological decision for raising our children and for teaching kids literacy?
And most people,
that's supposed to be the point of children's library.
Oh, right, right. No. Going to the library isn't about reading. Just look at the new Obama library. There's no books. So yeah, it's not about teaching you how to read. It's about teaching you how to be a sexual deviant. But regardless, I have no problem personally with Zuchi Moochi. I don't know of him. So here's what I'm going to say as Jack Posobiec's about to take over the fourth hour. And I always tell my crew to do this, and I hope they follow through. Try to get Zuchi Moochi on. I was just going to say,
let's get Zuchi Moochi on the show.
I want to interview Zuchi Moochi. Let's reach out to Zuchi Moochi. Let's try to get Zuchi Moochi on the show. Let's talk to them about whatever, this whole drag queen story hour is about. And let's just get to the bottom of it. So reach out to Zuchi Moochi crew. Somebody reach out. And look, I know that they usually don't respond and don't come on. I get it. But we can't say we reached out unless we actually do it. So reach out.
And it will not be a gotcha interview.
No.
Like a combative kind of edited thing.
Wear your demonic headdress. I don't care.
And we will give you a platform to explain what your background is and who you are to the people.
Well, Jack, you're about to take over. Some parting stories I'll leave in your lap. Austrian vote paves way for Nationalist Party to enter government. A 31-year-old Sebastian Kurz wins in Austria. So you've had the Brexit, the Catalonian independence, Trump, and now a right-wing Austrian. So
you see the youth angle of that is important. The youth angle of that shows people that this is where that people wanted to discount millennials. They wanted to discount anyone born in the 80s. But when it comes down to it, people realize that, no, we're actually very good at this. And we're planning on moving aside these old failed political institutions and getting involved. That's why people like, I mean, oh, and you and I are not old guys, right? We're doing this when most people our age are going out and just like working regular jobs or with a lot of people stuck in college and then grad school. And then the next school and then the next school and they never leave campus. Whereas we're actually getting involved in news. We're getting involved in our community. And that's what this guy over in Austria is doing. I think that our generation, certainly on people who are not on the globalist side, are going to be much more engaged than we've ever seen before.
And there was always a demonization against the millennials. And I'm speaking for myself here. But I always felt that just as bad as whatever segment, half, whatever portion of millennials were, the other side was that strong. Myself included and other millennials that I speak to, you know, we got Millie, we got a lot of young people that work here, you know, Omar Navarro running against Maxine Waters. So I think that there's also a lot of good that can come from our generation. Final story that I'll leave Jack with. AI implants will allow us to control our homes with our thoughts within 20 years. A government report claims John McNamara, who works at IBM Hursley Innovation Center in Hampshire, submitted evidence to the House of Lords Artificial Intelligence Committee, which is considering the economic, ethical, and social implications of AI. Yeah, you know, just turn into an AI, you know, put a nice little chip in yourself.
So they're actually talking about putting intelligent chips into your own brain.
Yeah, because your brain isn't good enough, Jack. Come on, you're just a mere human. We evolved from monkeys.
We need the AI chips, right? We need the AI chips. We evolved from monkeys. That's all we are, baser instincts. And we need the AI chips or else we're not going to be able to... How would we be able to live?
I mean, no, Jack. Parents, no, 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 no. I figured it out. See, Jack, you you have been awfully intolerant of the LGBTQ History Month at the Michael Obama Neighborhood Library.
I'm sorry.
You've been very intolerant from the Drag Queen Story Hour. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a little chip in your brain. We're going to fix that intolerance, Jack. We're going to fix that.
I will be re-educated through AI technology.
That's right. We don't do the lobotomies anymore, so we'll just put a little chip in you to control your brains. All right, Jack Posobiec takes over. I sign off. This is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Great guest coming up as well. Don't go anywhere.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Jack Posobiec sitting in a big fourth hour that we've got today. We're talking just recently about some of the ways that they're going after our children. They're changing the way they're educated. Public libraries, you have to watch out what's going on in the public libraries now, apparently, this Michelle Obama public library. But we're breaking down so much news today. And I've got some hard stories I want to talk about, what's going on in the White House, what's going on here in D.C. where I sit. We're going to have a great guest coming up in about 10 minutes. But before I do all that, we're doing so much here at InfoWars. I want to direct you guys to the InfoWars store. I want to tell you about some of the big products that we have coming up right now. Actually, the Caveman True Paleo, chocolate or strawberry. It is so important to have this stuff. Now, myself, I work out. Quite frequently, I do a lot of weight lifts with a Caveman True Paleo. When you're using that high intensity training, you're using those, going for those heavy weights, you've got to replenish when you're done those weights. You've got to replenish. You've got to have, you've got to let that paleo formula, that protein hit your bloodstream immediately after. So what I'll do is I'll make up basically a shake right after it. So I'll make it up before I start working out so I can take it immediately when I'm done, usually within like the first 15, 20 minutes. And I'm telling you guys, it really does taste like Ovaltine. It's just like the commercial says, and it's so amazing. The bone broth that goes in it, you can use almond milk. The reviews have been completely incredible going in with this. Now, another piece is that if you're feeling like you're starting to slack off a little bit, you're having one of those days where you just can't quite keep going with your next thing, you want to try BrainForce. When you start to get a little bit more sleepy, when you start to feel a little more tired, I do a lot of reading at night. I'm doing my reading, I'm doing my research. So much news these days, it's coming out the night before. So you've got to be ready for early in the morning. That's why I'm reading at night, pop a BrainForce. And it is so good because it doesn't leave you feeling jittery. It doesn't make you with like a caffeinated drink or like one of those energy drinks does. It's going to be on sale. It's actually just $19.99. It's normally $19.96. Excuse me. It's normally almost $40. Cut down to $19.99. I have no idea. So that's a 50% savings. I have no idea how long they're going to allow this for. Probably not much longer. But it depends on how stores go. If it sells, I absolutely implore you guys, try this stuff. You'll feel good. And by the way, once you're ready to go to sleep, you'll actually be able to fall right asleep as well, because it's not going to keep you wired the same way that caffeine would. And that's why it is so good. It's just an enhancement. It's enhancing what you're doing. So I want to talk about Chief of Staff of the White House, John Kelly. So last week on Thursday, Kelly actually made a surprise appearance at the president's, at the White House, at a surprise hearing, went to the podium, went up there himself. Sarah Sanders was there, and then she brought out John Kelly. Now, he doesn't usually appear at these things. He doesn't usually make his own statements and kind of held his own impromptu briefing. And one of the things that he said was, I don't plan on quitting or being fired today. And he said, unless anything's changed. So a lot of people in the media were trying to figure out, well, why is John Kelly talking about this today? Why did this come up? And then there were some tweets the night before that President Trump had put up saying that fake news is saying that John Kelly is going to be fired. It couldn't be further from the truth. And the media was scratching their heads because they said, wait a minute, nobody wrote any articles that we heard about talking about John Kelly leaving the White House. Well, some people actually went through and combed down through Twitter, through the internet, and they found that the reason that they didn't find it was because they weren't reading Jack Posobiec. I had written the story that John Kelly, weeks prior to all of this, had actually drafted a letter of resignation that he was going to hand into the president. He talked to him about it. He discussed the possibility of resigning. And then the president, instead of accepting the resignation, he decided to have him on. He said, please stay longer. I think you're doing a great job. I want you to stay. And more importantly, he didn't want to see anyone leaving the White House right now, as there's been a lot of turmoil lately. So this was the scoop. We've got it up here on the screen. Kelly resigned a few weeks ago. Trump. Now, this one, I actually announced that he said that he would accept it, but when the time is right to announce it. So there's been a lot of reports of mutual frustration that they've had between one and another. So this really doesn't come as any surprise. Now, John Kelly, of course, he's a 4-star Marine general. That is the kind of guy, he's very tight-lipped, he's very buttoned up, he does a lot by the book. That is the kind of man he is. And when it comes down to it, he sides more with people that are on the globalist Democrat side. Those are the people that he's still friends with in the Pentagon. Those are people that he's still friends with in the Beltway. Those are the people that he's made a career with. Those are not the type of people that propelled Donald J. Trump to the White House. They're not the kind of people that worked on the campaign. They're not the kind of people that understood why it was time for President Trump to win, because they are the Beltway elites. Now, this is something that I didn't quite understand as well before, that the U.S. generals tied in with the Pentagon were going to be so much against this populist wave. But that's what we're seeing. And we're seeing a lot of pushback between his style, between the president's style, between where he is on other things and where Trump is. My reporting on John Kelly has been confirmed again and again and again. I'll put out something and then someone will confirm it, or he'll come out publicly and state it. I was the first person to broke the story that he was censoring InfoWars, Breitbart, and other conservative publications from being handed to the president. This was Trump likes to read InfoWars. He likes to read a lot of sources, but Kelly didn't like that because that was giving him information that he didn't want the president to see. So he shut it down. I was the first person to report that. Now everyone's reporting it. It's been completely confirmed every single time. Secondly, I was the one that reported that Kelly was for DACA. He was for this allowing the Dreamers to stay. He actually said that he was for it during his time as Secretary of Homeland Security. And then in his hearings, he was saying that I think that we should find a way for them to stay, only that he was against Obama's executive order for DACA. So when Trump put out those tweets that had everybody really scratching their heads about it and saying they were very confused about what was going on, was the president supportive of DACA or not? It was really John Kelly that was driving that. H.R. McMaster was a huge part of it as well. And a lot of people don't understand there's a strong working relationship between, they're called the generals, right? The triumvirate of generals. It's Kelly, McMaster, and Mattis, who are all working together to push their policies rather than the policies that President Trump was campaigning on, the policies that people brought him together and won the election. So Chief of Staff Kelly, General Kelly, I think he's a good man, but I don't know if he's the right person to stay as Chief of Staff. If he does want to resign, I would welcome the resignation, and we should find someone who's more of a Trumpian and a populist to replace him. Let's get him on the show if we can. Let's get him on the show if we can get him here. So we have a quick break here. Then we're going to come back with independent journalist Jacob Wall. We're going to talk about what's going on in Hollywood. Is that Jenga stack of House of Cards about to topple over? It looks like it is. What does it all mean? And what other people are being covered up by Hollywood as we speak? Are there more Harvey Weinsteins? We'll get to the bottom of this coming up in the next half hour.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I know you can see me, now here's a surprise.
We are coming back. We're going to have a great guest coming up this hour. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on in Hollywood. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention one story today that's very close to myself, very close to my heart in many ways, and not in a good way. This the fact that Bo Bergdahl has pled guilty today to desertion. Now, a lot of people don't understand my background and the fact that I served at Guantanamo Bay when I was with the Navy, Navy Intelligence. And the four people, the terrorists, Taliban generals that Barack Obama turned over for Bo Bergdahl. Let me tell you something about these people. They are genocidal war criminals. And many, if not all of them, I am sure, will absolutely be reengaging in this fight to commit more war crimes, more genocide in Afghanistan. There are people that would literally go through and wipe out entire towns of people in Afghanistan because they weren't the right tribe or they didn't worship Islam the right way, like this, the Sunni Shia divide, right? This is the type of people that Barack Obama set free to get back a deserter when he was told that he that this person was a deserter. Of course, this is why Chuck Hagel was let go as Secretary of Defense, but it still didn't matter because it happened and we freed these absolutely horrific people to inflict more crimes on humanity. So when people bring up Barack Obama, and I think it's hilarious too, that when people are saying Donald Trump isn't qualified to be president, and then they'll turn around and say that Barack Obama was this great, amazing president or something. It absolutely boggles my mind. And it also boggles my mind that the same people would say things like that about a guy, Barack Obama, and a candidate, Hillary Clinton, that were so in bed with Harvey Weinstein. Pardon my phrase. And the guest that I want to bring on is going to talk a lot about that, is going to talk a lot about the collusion between Hollywood and the Democrat Party, the Democrat financial establishment. We're bringing on Jacob Wall of Offended America, and he is someone who's actually seen a lot of this up close and unfortunately personal. So, Jacob, what can you tell us about this story?
Well, Jack, first of all, it's great to be here. And, you know, one thing it's important that people understand about this is that once in a while, every couple of years, Hollywood will sort of usher one of these guys out and kind of let them go. 5 years ago, it was Charlie Sheen. They do it when the people are not making money for Hollywood anymore. If you remember, Charlie Sheen was, you know, kind of out there on a crack binge. And frankly, Charlie Sheen was engaged in debauchery, but everybody was of age. Everybody was consenting. There were people involved, but they basically ran him out of town in the proverbial sense.
But he wasn't producing anymore. He wasn't filling the seats. He wasn't getting the ratings. He wasn't playing along with what they wanted. So they saw it as an opportunity to get rid of him.
That's exactly right. And they don't get rid of people that are engaging in bona fide pedophilia usually. Now, Harvey Weinstein's case is pretty bad for something that they'll usually let go. But I'll tell you why that is. All of the Hollywood studios have been losing money. They've been going out of business. And basically, they've been receiving cash infusions from the Chinese, from the communist Chinese, through companies that are basically owned by the Chinese government. The Dalian Wanda Group comes to mind. Many of these massive, basically cash pools, private equity type vehicles from China have been infusing these studios with cash and influencing not only the content, but the way that they run their business. Because
and
while these studios are—
I want to point that out to people too, because when you see a movie these days, so often you'll see that title thrown up, one of those many companies that you see before the movie starts, but it'll say Wanda. And it looks like the English word Wanda, but what you're actually seeing is Wanda, which is a Chinese phrase. And there'll be that like little red logo they have up there too. So I appreciate that you brought them up. I actually think that this has a lot to do with China's takeover of Hollywood as well.
Well, it ties in so interestingly because here's the thing. Harvey Weinstein's company, like many others, was going through a time of distress. Financially, it was not doing well. And people think, well, it's got billions of dollars of revenue. Yeah, but if you've got billions more in expenses, your company's not doing so hot. And so for a long time, Harvey Weinstein was attempting to gain one of these types of Chinese cash infusions. Goldman Sachs owns a large portion of the Weinstein company. They were kind of questioning it. And the reason they couldn't get the cash is because it was so well known that Harvey Weinstein was so unscrupulous in his behavior. And unlike many of these people, couldn't even cover it up. I mean, he would have drivers that he didn't even really know, didn't have them on non-disclosures, taking them out to five or six dates in one day. And that's why he couldn't secure the investment from the Chinese or from anyone else. And so this was kind of an open secret. They were shopping.
So you're telling me, telling me, and I want to explain this to people so they're catching up. The Chinese said that Harvey Weinstein, the Chinese communists, were so disgusted by Harvey Weinstein that that's why they wouldn't sign any deals with him. The Chinese communists who killed 70 million people during Mao's Great Leap Forward, they were disgusted by Harvey Weinstein.
In essence, because what they were trying to do is do an investment. This is an extremely large investment. Okay, when somebody's investing $100 million, whether they are the Chinese or they're Goldman Sachs or they're whomever, they're going to do their due diligence. They're going to send in a team that's going to be on the ground in the company for days, talking to everybody. It's just basic due diligence. And that's the reason they couldn't get the infusion, is because the culture of sexual misconduct and cover-ups was so pervasive at that company that they couldn't secure an investment. And I constantly hear this, well, there's no Hollywood elite. We've heard Jimmy Kimmel say, there's no Hollywood elite. It's not like we get together in a mansion and plan this all out. And that couldn't be any more of a lie than saying that the sky is red, not blue. I remember, actually, it was a year ago today, invitations went out for a Hillary Clinton fundraiser at Jeff Katzenberg's house, his mansion in Beverly Hills. They mentioned it was going to be $100,000 a plate.
And Katzenberg, he is one of these huge producers in Hollywood. Him, along with Weinstein, they're some of the people that really control the money spigot when it comes to Hollywood.
Right. Katzenberg now is the chairman of DreamWorks. He used to run... he was a Disney executive for many years, and they had a big fundraiser. They sent out the invitations, $100,000 a plate. Obama participated, I believe. And then they had this whole thing on, I think it was the 25th of October. So it's been almost a year. And the Hollywood elite show up. There's no phones allowed. They had a full Secret Service protection of Katzenberg's mansion, which is, anyone's wondering, right by the Greystone Mansion in Beverly Hills. I remember all the streets were shut down by Secret Service and Beverly Hills PD and LAPD. And you couldn't even get around. The traffic was so bad. So everybody participates, okay, from the local politicians up to people that attend these events. They shut down the whole roads, no phones allowed, $100,000 a plate, all goes into Hillary's slush fund, whether it be, you know, if she's campaigning, her campaign fund, or if she's not, the Clinton Foundation. So they're all in bed on this. And then once every now and again, okay, they take somebody like Weinstein and they hang him out to dry. And if you hear about the things that Weinstein did, which are disgusting, okay, and you hear lawyers that claim to be feminists, like Gloria Allred's daughter.
Yeah, Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom.
Yeah, that's right. And they come out and they say, well, Weinstein grabbed, you can read this, New York Times, mainstream media got this even. They say Weinstein grabbed the woman's breast because he needed to see if they were real or not for a lingerie ad. I mean, the excuses they have are absolutely far-fetched. But the point is, they're all in on it. They all go to these fundraisers. They all hang out together. They all know what's going on. And when somebody like Weinstein, where they have nothing to lose, his company's kind of going belly up. They're looking for cash. They can't get it. So the rumors are spreading. Of course, that somebody at the New York Times is going to find out about it. They're going to write up a piece, usually attempt to do a shakedown and pay them to go away if he's not willing to
pay them. Right. And meanwhile, then these same people will turn around and accuse President Trump of, well, he looked at me when he was coming off the elevator, and they'll put up these people that have been completely debunked again and again and again. Now their latest claim, their latest conspiracy theory, is to drag up the same, the Zelnos, the one who was discredited before by her own cousin, and drag her up to bring fake stories that have been brought up before. And then she said, well, can we just have anything else? This is the type of stuff. Stick around, Jacob. We're going to come back in the next segment. I want to talk about some of the stuff that's going on with child actors in Hollywood. This is stuff that has been confirmed. This is stuff that people have actually gone to jail for. But for some reason, they're still allowed to work with child actors. We're going to talk about this and close out the hour right here coming up after the break.
Is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Ending up the final bit of hour four here, I'm joined by my guest Jacob Wall here in the studio. We're talking about Hollywood. We're breaking down so much stuff. I want to take a second to tell you all about something very important, and that is vitamin B12 and the fact that Secret 12 at InfoWarsStore.com. It's now on sale, 40% off. If you guys want to go through and get that, it's actually been extended. They've extended the sale, so it's running low because the sale has been going so well and they've been stores have just been completely flying out. But they're extending it because they want to actually get rid of the last bit that they have. They want to have it all out at the sale price. This Secret 12, this is, you guys, this is life essential vitamin. It's something that we need that's taken out of so many of our foods. It's found naturally, but because of modern foods, because of processed foods, you're not getting the vitamin 12 that you always, that you need. You absolutely need this. You need this for neurological function. You need it for DNA recovery. It's usually found in natural protein, but so many times the meats that we're eating, so much of the food that we're getting doesn't have it in there. And that's why it's so great. 40% off. You can get it on InfoWars Store. You can go there. And not only are you be able to help your own health, but you're now, we're supporting what's going on here at InfoWars. You're able to support what we're doing. You're able to support our operations. You're able to keep the lights on and the cameras rolling, quite frankly. And that is what's so great. We don't take advertisements from any of these big corporations. It's totally listener supported. So we're helping you support your health, and you're helping us stay on and continue the fight to get the truth out there. And that's what I want to bring up with our guest Jacob Wall right now, because here's a story you're absolutely not going to hear anywhere in the mainstream media. And that is the fact that we've got this guy, Brian Peck, and he is actually a convicted pedophile, from in Hollywood, who was sentenced and served time for this. 16 months, two counts of abusing a child actor for Nickelodeon. But for some reason, under California law, he is still allowed to work on set for children's television shows and is able to work around the children as long as he's not in, quote, direct contact with the children, I guess, so that there's other people around. So we're talking about someone in Hollywood. He was charged with 8 counts of sexual abuse, including abuse with anesthesia and controlled substances. He actually was convicted of two, sentenced to 16 months. Now, I always thought that if that happened, that you had to maintain it, that was like a restraining order, that I had to keep you away from children. But we found that in Hollywood, apparently that's not the case, where not only are they allowing you around children, they're encouraging and enabling it. Jacob, help me make sense of all this stuff. This sounds absolutely crazy to me.
In California at large, there's been a movement for a long time to loosen up the laws on sex offenders. In fact, they just passed a law just in the last few months that makes it so that sex offenders don't have to stay on the federal Megan's Law registry for their entire life if their offense is non-aggravated, which is just out of control. But this is very pervasive in Hollywood. Nickelodeon in particular has been a hot spot of pedophilia for a long time. I'm actually, as we speak, working sources at Nickelodeon, and we're preparing to run an exclusive on yet another producer at Nickelodeon, the creator of many of their top shows. And you've seen the allegations on Twitter and on Reddit.
I have seen the allegations.
Everybody's seen the allegations, and I'm independently going one by one through these allegations, tracking down people in a position to know and verifying them. And I can tell you this so far. Many of these allegations are being confirmed as we speak. I just got a text while we were at the break from somebody I know who works at Nickelodeon, who's on the shows. And these people are afraid because, in particular, they talk about the balance of power, right?
Let me explain this to people. So the Brian Peck, that situation which happened before, we don't know specifically which actor it was. It was referred to as a John Doe in the actual case because they wanted to protect their career. And obviously, we don't want to get into blaming the victims of these horrific crimes for the things that these sexual predators do. But that occurred while at Nickelodeon. Now we're hearing stories, allegations of more stuff going on at Nickelodeon. And again, this is not something that we are making up or creating. This is an actual conviction of a pedophile at Nickelodeon, and you're saying that you're hearing that there may be some more of these cover-ups the same way that Harvey Weinstein was covered up for 30 years.
That's right. And what happens here to put people kind of, to help them understand this, a lot of times what happens is you get these child actors and they're from Ohio or they're from Michigan or they're from anywhere in the Midwest, the East Coast, wherever they're from. Okay, for all we know, their parents work at Dunkin' Donuts. It's what happens. These kids move out to Hollywood. A lot of times they're living on their own at 14, 15, 16 years old. And you have these producers and you've got people at Nickelodeon. Okay, this is totally confirmed, totally public. Dan Schneider on his Twitter page saying that he's having sleepovers with the actors from the show and that they're bonding, many of whom are underage, and they're having sleepovers at his house. That's not necessarily illegal.
That's what Michael Jackson used to do. Isn't that what he used to do? There was like sleepovers at the Neverland Ranch, and people, it really started to fuel a lot of rumors, and charges were actually brought against him.
That's right.
I believe there are a few settlements against that. But yeah, it was the fact that it was sleepovers that were going on.
But then people look at you and they say, hey, what's wrong with Michael Jackson having a sleepover with a bunch of underage kids? I mean, the culture in Hollywood is, why are you accusing somebody of something wrong when it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, and you've got people in Hollywood having pool parties and sleepovers with underage actors. And obviously the balance of power there is totally out of whack, because what are these kids going to do? Are they going to walk into Gloria Allred's office and file a lawsuit? Of course not. And so the worst of these guys go after the youngsters. They go after kids. They go after these child actors because they know if these kids say anything, it's right back to Ohio. It's right back to Michigan, wherever they're from. And the kids, unfortunately, in Hollywood, the child actors are the biggest victims of this. Everybody from
kids
that are starring to extras.
It was the same situation with Harvey Weinstein and Harvey Weinstein's victims, because he was such a powerful producer, because the Weinstein company was so powerful, he could essentially make or break your career. These are people, kids in many cases, that go to Hollywood with stars in their eyes. They want to be the next it girl, the next it boy. They want to get in movies. They want to get in TV shows. They want to get in music videos, whatever it is. They know that's where you have to go through. And so many of these victims, and I've read so many of these statements of Harvey Weinstein's victims, and the ones even that he's admitted to at this point. We've got him on NYPD tape, which is where the false equivalency comes in with President Trump. They're trying to say, well, Trump was a sexual predator too. I said, no, except that all of Trump's accusations have completely disappeared when they're held up to scrutiny, whereas Harvey Weinstein was actually caught on tape in an NYPD sting. And what happens is you've got these people that are in such massive levels of power. They have so much influence. They can make or break your career. People want that career. They want that celebrity. They call Weinstein God.
I mean, they actually called him God. Yeah, Meryl
and that you're talking about, those are Oscar stage speeches and thank you speeches. He was thanked more times than God, Harvey Weinstein. What is it about? So you're out there. How come? Why is it that you're able to withstand some of the pull of this, Jacob?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm not in the entertainment business. I just don't care. I mean, you know, people are talking to me. They say, hey, if you publish a story on Thursday, which I'm planning to publish, and you publish this videotape, which I'm planning to publish, you're not going to be able to get a job on Nickelodeon. And it's like, okay, I don't care. I'm not in the business of that. I'm in the financial business. I'm in the news business. And I just don't care.
Because so you care about the truth getting out there, because you want it up. Well, I tell you what, we're down to our last minute. Let people know where they can look for that tape on Thursday. And then if it does go all right, we'll make sure to be able to get you back on and cover it.
Yeah, that's right. It's all going to be on offendedamerica.com. People can keep up with the latest there. We're working on the reports as we speak, trying to get people on the record, get them to come out. So everybody can follow everything there. They can follow me on Twitter at Jacob A. Wohl.
Jacob, I really appreciate you having on. And folks, this is what we're talking about. These are the people we're fighting. Harvey Weinstein, we know, is just the tip of the iceberg. But that is why we're here every day, to expose these sickos and get the truth out to where it's needed. Stick around, for we've got War Room coming up. Roger Stone's going to be on. So much news is going to be broken. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JackPosobiec, JackPosobiec. See a beautiful picture of myself and my wife to be in just about 3 weeks here. Thanks a lot, everyone.